This week, if you showed up and Bobby was an hour late, or you showed up for Bobby and got us instead, you probably forgot to set your clocks back, or forgot that we did. Hemispheres and countries and the tyranny of clocks, something like that. For the podcast listeners, it's just another day ending in Y, or G if you're Swedish. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to bring you actual news. Things like a Squid Game-like game, sorely needed social dynamic changes, and plenty more news. Starting right now on the show, Rare Gamer has a voice.
Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio. That's right. In a brand new time zone tonight. And we are back with episode number 890 for this November the 7th of 2021. And on Twitch, I'm by myself right now. Why is that? There we go. Hello. I am Rob Roberts, and I am joined, as always, by my incredible co-hosts. Say hello first off to Dark Sakar or Jamie Summers.
Hi, but you know we're not really in a different time zone. We're still Pacific time.
Yeah, I should have said a different time, not time zone. But you know, when you're trying to do camera changes with one hand and talking with your mouth, it's multitasking. It's hard. It's very hard.
I don't
hard.
Need to know what you're doing with one hand, Rob.
I got one hand in my pocket, to quote an Alanis Morissette song, but that's all it's doing.
Mm.
Anyway, Dark Sakar, I wanted to start off the show by saying to you, happy N7 day. How did you spend your N7 day?
I was busy all day. We did. It was really actually kind of a half work day for me. No. I had a sister meeting this morning, and it went 2 hours instead of 1 hour. Longer than 2 hours, actually.
Are you back to doing those in person, or is it still virtual?
No, we tried, and then we went right back to Zooming it. And funny enough, I found that the thing I use for connecting my phone not for Twitch. I use Twitch Cam for that, but for Discord, works in Zoom. So I was able to. But for some reason, Zoom doesn't like my headphones.
Huh.
Maybe because it's hooked in through my microphone.
Maybe.
But lots of house cleaning, and I had to get some groceries, and yeah, just too busy today. But to celebrate, I did not play any Mass Effect because I didn't have time, and it still won't run on my Mac.
Well, that's a bummer. But yeah, that Legendary Edition, I haven't touched it myself since it came out. I didn't even beat Mass Effect 1 still. I think Alan did a playthrough of it, but I never did. And I was kind of waiting for them to finish patching it because they were still putting out patches after the fact. So,
Well, I still haven't done Animal Crossing either just because of how busy I've been, so...
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there's been a lot of people playing that. I haven't gotten around to Animal Crossing yet either, but I know a lot of people have been super enjoying that one. I want to go to SG100 Matt in our chat because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show at the Voice Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network. That's VOG Network. And SG100 Matt says, I didn't realize it was N7 day until an hour ago. Neither did I. Well, not an hour ago, but it was a good chunk into the day until I realized, I think I was on Twitter, and then I realized, oh, yeah, it's November 7th. It's N7 day. But I wasn't expecting much this year. Of course, I should backtrack. If you don't know what N7 day is, it's a tie-in to the game series Mass Effect, which, of course, Doc Sakura and I fanboy and fangirl about because it's an amazing series. And N7 refers to like the military kind of special squad sort of thing that's in the game that Shepard's a part
of. They have like a 7 levels of special ops, and N7 is the top designation.
Kind of like hell. So you're in the 7th circle of alien hell in Mass Effect. So yeah. So this is always kind of a special day, and usually they drop some Mass Effect news. They actually did today, and I don't know if you saw it, Dark Sakar, but they did put out a poster. They put out a new poster for the new game, and it doesn't say much, but it kind of hints that like the Geth are strongly involved, which if it's a game in Shepard's universe would make sense. But it, you know, there's like this interesting shadow of like a Geth figure that the, you know, picture makes out. So it's kind of interesting. But again, I saw that poster and I was like, looks great. Too bad I won't play it till 2025.
Well, I would rather it take a while to come out and be good.
That is true. We don't want them to rush it, but it does seem weird to like tease it. You know, I'm just like, okay, it's like hyping a Marvel movie that won't be out for 3 years. You know, it's, but it is what it is. I guess people do that now anyway. All right.
I reckon.
Also say hello. Welcome back this week to Techmaster Loki. Welcome back, Loki.
I guess we'll have to wait and see what they come up with for that new game.
And goodbye, Loki. It was nice. Well, it wasn't nice having you. Goodbye. All right. Anyway, hey, Dark Soccer, let's... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. How was your Halloween, Loki?
It was fine. It was pretty typical. Took the kids out. They went trick-or-treating and got some candy. It was pretty short this year, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
They ain't getting good candy, though.
Time... No, what does dad go through the bag and pick out the ones he wants first?
Not really, but like, you know, I'll eat the old people candy, kids. like Tootsie Rolls and stuff. So they didn't have any, so I had to buy my own. Like, I don't even know. It's not worth it at that point.
Let's see. Bobby Black Wolf in chat says the kids got some candy. Loki got lots of candy. Yes.
3.5 pounds of candy.
Then the day after Halloween is when you go and you get all the on sale candy. So yeah, it's how it works. So
yep.
Okay, what is the game playing behind you tonight? I don't recognize it.
I don't know why, but like I was thinking about it today as I was kind of getting ready. I'm like, well, what do I want to put in my background today? And just for some reason, my brain, being stupid, decided to shout out Home Improvement. And I was like, I don't even know if there is a Home Improvement game. But apparently there is. There is a Home Improvement game on the Super Nintendo. It's like Home Improvement Search for Tools or something. I remember it's Search for Something with Tools. But it looks weird.
Believe it or not, they made a lot of bullshit games on the Super Nintendo.
Like, exactly. That's why, even though I wasn't sure if that's the case, I'm like, there's a good chance that it's there.
Yeah, we hold the Super Nintendo in high regard, and mostly with good reason. But that, you know, every system has its clonkers, you know. And there you go. The Home Improvement game. You know,
he is basically fighting with tools, and it's great. He has a nail gun. Looks like he's using a saw to fight off dinosaurs or something. So, I'm down for that. I need to see that in the awful block.
My one little weird quirky thing, I know I've mentioned this on the show before, but it's been a while. I'll say it again. My one little weird quirky thing is that I went to school with that kid's brother, the Jonathan Taylor Thomas. They used to live where I grew up, and the kid's brother was in my math class. So, yeah, it's just it's a small world, I guess. But, yeah, I guess everybody's, you know, got weird ties to someone famous like that. But even I, you know, obviously – we weren't like friends or anything, so I didn't really keep in touch or whatever. I had friends that were friends with him, but I didn't really keep in touch. Even I was wondering what the hell ever happened to that kid, like, because, you know, after Home Improvement he kind of disappeared, right? And then I guess they finally found him a few years ago, but yeah, it was funny.
he was here at this bar the whole time.
Oh, did you check under the rock? All right, anyway. Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I think Home Improvement has been on Games Done Quick before. Oh, I'm sure. S. Joe and Hunter Matt says, yeah, I remember the game now. Okay. I remember renting it. It's trash with 16-bit Tim Allen grunting sound effects. Oh, God.
That's the best part, though. Like, seriously.
Bobby Blackwolf says, I bought the last Super Nintendo game ever officially released in North America, and it's so bad. It's Frogger, but it's a bad version of Frogger. Yikes.
That's every version of Frogger, except for the 2600.
Except for the arcade.
The original, and Frogger 2 3 Deep on the Commodore 64 was pretty good. So, anyway.
If you say so.
Okay, Loki, I have to ask you about this, because you weren't here last week, so you didn't get to do last week's news. But when this story came up, like, everybody was like, we need Loki here to talk about this. So I'm going to ask you now, VR edition of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas that Meta is talking about. Now, for the podcast listeners, you can't see his face, but you can imagine his face.
I'm not buying a Quest for this. Like, it's stupid. Like, they want you to buy the Quest, too, to play San Andreas, which is super damn old. Like, I get it. Yeah, it'll be cool in VR. But let's be honest. Like, if I want to play that in VR, I'm pretty sure modders can make a version that's in VR. I'm sure that they've already made a version that's in VR.
Well, okay. But to be fair, like, the conversion of, like, forcing VR on games that weren't designed for VR usually stinks. Like, it's a 5-minute novelty, and then it's like, okay, this is garbage. Like, case in point, whoever modded the 8-bit Nintendo Legend of Zelda to run in VR. Like, and I'm not knocking this person.
That's like its own kind of independent thing. I get that. Yeah, and it doesn't need to be there. I think it's just such a gimmick. Like it really is just such a gimmick to try to sell the Quest 2, which is stupid because, like, I have a Rift S, and, like, I guess it's just not being supported anymore, even though I think it's probably more powerful than the Quest 2. I mean, after all, it's running on a PC, which is arguably more powerful than the Quest 2. But sure, whatever, let's wall it behind. I'm not buying another I'm not buying it. Sorry. You know, I don't care how great it is. I'll just not play it. So,
now,
whatever. I mean, it's fine. Even, like, I think they have, like, the remasters that they just, you know, they talked about coming out and stuff. And they did something with that. At least the graphics look a little bit better. Not great, but, I mean, the best I guess they can do. But it's just very minimal effort. Like, I don't care.
Bobby does want to clarify that the Meta will no longer support PC VR. Mobile VR is where they see the market share, and also wants to clarify he still does not own a Quest. The Rift has been discontinued. So just to so we know where VR is at.
So. You know what? I don't care, Facebook. It works on PC. There's other VR you know what? I don't need a walled garden for VR, okay? I don't. Like, honestly, like, it's just, there's so much stuff on Steam. Like, really, like, I don't need to play San Andreas again for, like, how many times now? Like, I don't care. I'm not going to wait for them to put it out on VR. Now, if it was a brand new Grand Theft Auto, which they really should be doing. Like, let's just put it this way. Like, develop a brand new Grand Theft Auto for the Quest 2. And then make that a VR-only game. That would be cool.
I'm sure they're developing a new Grand Theft Auto. It's just taking forever.
Yeah, but I understand that. But, like, before, like, there's been lower-tier effort games that have been put out by Rockstar. Like, Grand Theft Auto for the DS at one time.
Chinatown Wars came up last week. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, something like that. I mean, the PSP ports are pretty good. Those had multiplayer. I mean, that's what I started multiplayer in Grand Theft Auto with, was the PSP stuff. I just don't, like, I would so not buy a Quest 2 for that. Like, I would just absolutely not worth it at all. But more power to them, I guess. I just think it's just stupid.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says there's not enough market share of VR to make a new Grand Theft Auto for VR only. I do agree with that. And follows up saying Valve made a brand new Half-Life just for VR and everyone lost their shit. That's true. Going back to that first thing that Bobby said there, I thought this was a good follow-up comment. And I haven't read this chatter before, so welcome and hello, XC Frez. I hope I said that right, XC Frez. Sorry, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. My bad. Says, I would like to get into VR, but terrified of buying something that will be obsolete or abandoned soon after. And I think that's a damn good point, especially when you consider, okay, well, Meta just walked away from the Rift. That's why for me, and I know Meta's got something else in the works, blah, 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 blah. But for me, that's why I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to wait for PlayStation 5 VR because you know it's coming. You know it's going to be a good baseline. You know it's going to be solid. It's going to have a lot of games on it for gamers, whereas the Meta stuff will probably have a lot of other crap that Facebook wants to push on it and some games too. So you know what? I'm just going to hang out for PlayStation 5 VR because I feel like the good baseline for a gamer who wants VR is a game console doing VR. And so that's
positive,
for me.
The only positive I see of the Quest 2 is that you're not really docked to like a PC. But really, like, anywhere in my house, I don't have enough room to do VR. Like, that's why I don't do VR. That's why my, you know, Rift S is still in the box over here. And my PlayStation VR is in a box in another room.
You could try to do VR, but you'll trip on a toy. You'll trip on a cat. You'll trip on a child.
Oh, definitely a cat. Yeah, so cat updates since I've been gone for a few weeks. She's not doing great. Aww. She's got... She is health is definitely deteriorating.
Aww,
so she
baby.
Is she is confined to the kitchen now. She does not. She still can't hear. And now I think she can't see out of one side. And so she
baby.
And she has brain issues. So she circles and around and around and around and can't find things. So then she's missing her litter box and stuff like that. So she sleeps now under my desk. I don't know where she's wandered off to, actually.
Well, there's a lot of love.
She's under my wheels. Okay, please don't.
There's a lot of love pouring out from the chat right now. Send Stella some love from all of us, because that's always difficult to hear.
Did they say what the issue was? Because it sounds like almost like some sort of brain.
Well, it is, but they can't do. She won't sit still for an X-ray for her head, and I'm not paying $3,000 to do advanced imaging at like Davis or something like that. So it's probably something like a tumor or something. Who knows?
Baby.
But we're just keeping her comfortable, I guess, for now.
You tell me a person has these problems, and I'm like, oh, that sucks. You tell me a cat has these problems, I'm like, no. I get very emotional. So,
but yeah, she's been like, because we had, it was weird. Like, she was like going to the bathroom behind the couch and stuff like that, and just like kind of like I noticed her circling around a bunch, and so I don't think she can see out of the one side, because I can kind of come up beside her and just like wave my hand in front of her and she doesn't see it. But she sees me on the other side, and so she'll either follow the wall to, you know, kind of clockwise around the room, or she'll circle around. I don't know.
Well, she probably appreciates you giving her some cuddles, so keep at it.
A little bit, yeah. She's got her bed underneath my desk, so she's always with me all day long. And
good.
You know, and keeping her locked up in the kitchen is good, because she's not getting lost in the house.
Yeah.
So.
All right, poor thing.
So, unfortunately, that's what we've been dealing with the last few weeks.
All right, tough topic, but let's try to move on. We're going to move on into some video game news going on around the world and get into tonight's kickoff topic, which is about a company I talk a lot about on this show because I play a lot of their games. It's Niantic. And Niantic, you know, what's interesting, just a couple weeks ago on the show, we had talked about how Niantic will not be moving forward with the Settlers of Catan game that they never released here. They released it in other countries. I think Australia, New Zealand was kind of the biggest market they put it out in. And the Catan game was out there for a while, but they did not continue development of the game, and they canceled it, effectively. They may reuse some of the ideas somewhere else. It sounded like to me, and again, this is an interpretation. This is not something they said, but it sounded like to me, them and the Catan people were not seeing eye to eye. The Catan license was likely expensive. The Catan people didn't want to continue with it because they didn't see a new Pokemon Go in it or something. So that's what it sounded like. Kind of a little bit surprising that, God, not even a month later, here we are. Niantic is going to be shutting down a game that did launch and launched everywhere. And this was a partnership, to be fair, with Portkey Games. So it's not just Niantic shutting it down. But certainly Niantic's name was involved with Harry Potter Wizards Unite. Harry Potter Wizards Unite was kind of the game that came out after Pokemon Go. Had a lot of similarities to Pokemon Go, certainly. Instead of capturing Pokemon, you were capturing what, like spirits, pages, ghosts, things from the Harry Potter universe. But it did have a pretty neat battle system that Pokemon Go didn't have. Instead of like tapping at gyms, you actually had kind of like your MMO triad of healer, tank, you know, DPS kind of thing going on, where you were taking on monsters. I played the game for a little bit. I got a little turned off to a lot of Harry Potter related things when the author of the books started her social media bullshit, and I'll let you do your own research on that. And my conclusion was that, you know what, I don't know how much I want to be like, yeah, I'm super into Harry Potter right now, which sucks, because there's a lot of people that work on these games that do not share the same viewpoints of the author. But when she's out there saying what she's saying, it's very hard to drop money into the game knowing that she's getting money in her pocket.
I just got really bored with it.
And honestly, there's that too. Like, the grind was only good for so long. Apparently, the game got a lot better with the COVID changes that they made. That's what I heard from the people that were still playing it at that point, that they really added a lot to the game. They finally added some stuff that probably should have been there when it launched, with some of the epic bosses. Like, you could take out Umbridge, and I don't know all the characters, but, you know, some of the big, big characters. But unfortunately, too little too late, I suppose, because the game is going offline on January 31st, 2022. It will disappear from all the marketplaces December 6th. In the meantime, go hog, because rewards and cooldown times will be, increased rewards, decreased cooldown times. Basically, you know, they're throwing everything at you to enjoy the game while it's lasting. Bosses, events, they will continue going live until the end of January. If you spent money on the game, though, too bad. The money's been spent. The checks have been cashed. You will not be getting that money back unless there is a law in your country or something where you must. And the U.S. ain't one of them. So there you go. It's closing. The game had been released in June of 2019. Honest to God, it felt like a lot longer. I felt like that game had been out for at least 3 years, not two, but there it is.
Doesn't seem very long.
Yeah, it really doesn't. And so, I don't know, maybe COVID could partially be to blame for that, but I kind of go back to...
It wasn't very popular. I think, like, unfortunately, they released it, and, like, Ingress was... It's all right. Everyone's really into Pokemon Go. And then Wizards of the United seemed to be kind of like a third wheel. It's like, I think people tried it, and they're like, that's fine. But, like, it just didn't have the staying power.
Mike Deft in chat says, technically it's more WB Games shutting down this game rather than Niantic, though. I believe that to be true. I believe this is more port key games decisions, and maybe they didn't want to keep paying to license Niantic Lightship. The Portal Network, what used to be the Ingress Portal Network, that is all now Niantic Lightship, and that is their big platform of all, like, your parks, your play structures apart, all that shit that was submitted by mostly Ingress players and now a good chunk of Pokemon Go players, especially in countries outside the U.S., that is all now on Niantic Lightship. And actually, it's interesting. A friend of mine who, you know, has played all the – is just like me. Like, I have – you know, it's – a lot of my Ingress friends – are like me in that they play all these games. They will try all of these games at least once. We just did a walk this weekend. We were all playing Pikmin and doing a walk while we were playing Ingress. Like, we're just all kind of in that same mindset. And one of them said to me, you know, WB and Warner Brothers Portkey probably just didn't want to keep paying the fees for Niantic Lightship and want to keep licensing that. You add that into Harry Potter's licensing fees, that's an expensive game to keep going. And for what? And I kind of agree. I think he hit the nail on the head. I think it's not just the Harry Potter fee, but now Niantic's fee that goes into this as co-developer. I just don't think the game was worth it to keep running. It wasn't selling enough of the microtransactions, especially in a COVID world. And that's that. And that is, and as I expressed last week, that is kind of my fear with the Pikmin game. The Pikmin game I'm actually rather enjoying because it is a low pressure, low... intensity kind of game. You can kind of set it and forget it a lot more with Pikmin than you do the other Niantic games. But the microtransactions make no sense at all. None. And I feel like, not that I am encouraging Pikmin to put more stuff for more microtransactions in the game, because I don't really want that. But at the same time, I also realize, you know, developers have to get paid from somewhere, so I'd like there to be something worthwhile for them to toss a coin to, and I don't think that exists in Pikmin Bloom right now. In the Harry Potter game, at least once in a while, I would say I probably gave $15, $10 to Wizards Unite when I was actually playing it when it first came out. So, I just hope that doesn't kill the Pikmin game, that it doesn't make money. Because I really don't see how the Pikmin game is going to make money in its current state anyway. So, all right. Anyway, let's see. Other comments in chat. Questbuster points out Pikmin Bloom was just rolled out. There's a Transformers game as well. They might have decided to shutter the game to save on costs and push resources to other projects. I believe, I could be wrong, somebody should fact check me on this, but I believe the Transformers game is like the Harry Potter game where somebody else is developing it and using Niantic Lightship in it. I could be wrong. SG100 Matt is pointing out that Niantic is really investing in Pikmin Bloom. This is probably Nintendo as well. They've bought some serious airtime and commercials for it. Being seen the commercials for Prime during Prime Time, which isn't cheap. You didn't see that with Pokemon Go for a while or at all with Pikmin. Last I checked, the Pikmin Bloom is number one in the like adventure games category. So, I mean, it's paying off. It's not 2016 Pokemon Go. Nothing ever will be again, but Pikmin seems to be doing all right. But is it, you know, it's getting the installs, but is it making money? I don't know. I guess maybe players are probably buying that first timer starter kit thing, but I don't know if they're getting it beyond that. Who knows? Mike Deft in chat says, don't know if this is coming up later, but now you have a Niantic ID. No, I did not show all that for later. I'm glad you did bring that up because, everybody that's played a Niantic game before is now getting emails to reserve your Niantic ID. But we kind of knew this was coming. If you looked at the acquisitions Niantic's made, they've been wanting to build a social network around this AR gaming. And I really think Niantic wants to be in a place like Blizzard, but obviously all this current stuff we've been talking about Blizzard accepted. Don't go there. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about like Battle.net and all the Blizzard infrastructure and how those games tie together. And you kind of talk to friends through games and stuff. And they've kind of built that experience on PC. I think that's what Niantic wants in the mobile world. And they think Pokemon Go is going to get them there. And it just well might, to be honest. And if they can get Pikmin Bloom to catch on huge too, that'll be more people for the social network and that'll catch on as well. But Harry Potter wasn't it. So XC Freeze in chat says, I wonder if WWE would be a good license to pick up for Niantic. I'm not sure how that would go into the real world very well, but yeah, anything's possible. I think there's a lot of different licenses people would like to see Niantic pick up and go with. But Harry Potter, no longer going to be one of them. The game is closing. So that's that.
Ew-hoo.
And again, yeah, I don't think any of us are like super surprised. I feel sorry for my friends that grinded to 60 in that game. I think if this is what I think would be nice, but I'm not expecting it to happen. If Niantic is launching a social network and if achievements are to be part of that network, which I've been led to believe from some of the tea leaves and the stories that have come out, it would be nice for the people that played Harry Potter Wizard Unite to have some sort of legacy achievement on their profile before they axe the game. But because it's technically Portkey, and I don't know how that ties in, that may not actually happen. But I do feel bad for those that, you know, really, the grind to level 60 in that game, no fucking joke. That's a grind. So it would be nice if people had something to show for it besides womp womp. But that's the reality of mobile games. Your fave may go away someday. Anyway, let's move on. I talked a little bit about my gaming week in there, but I have more. But we'll go around the table and talk about our gaming weeks. So let's go to Dark Sakura, as we usually do first, and talk about your gaming week. Dark Sakura?
Pretty uneventful, actually. I just played Dead by Daylight. Really. And I played Mandalorian Pinball. So that was it. I was going to do Animal Crossing. Real life has happened. I have had so many projects that I've needed to wrap up that it's not even funny. So, just Dead by Daylight.
Real life happens. Where's Fantasian at? You finished part two, right?
Oh, yeah, I did play Fantasian.
Play
Fantasian.
Okay.
I am at just this really grindy spot, and I'm trying to do as many different submissions as I can. But I think I need to buff up my people quite a bit more. It says, oh, you can do this level 42. Bullshit. This is like this one attack that's just like completely ridiculous. And like, I think I want to get my guys up to like 50 before I do it.
Yeah. Whenever I see a warning like that, I'm like, I'll get to 45. You know,
I've
at least
able until this match to do things early.
Oh, interesting.
Kind of like how I did with Final Fantasy 10-2. Mm-hmm. Not with 10-2. It was both with 10 and 10-2 that I would just rush through everything, kind of outwit, you know, I guess, the enemies. And then I would finally get to a point where I couldn't do that because it was all a matter of a power game. And that's where I am on Fantasian.
And then how's Dead by Daylight been going? You enjoying the Halloween event?
I am. Yeah. I love stepping on pumpkins before the salty survivors can. I've actually had just like some funny people like just like automatically it's like, hey, let's farm. I'm like, okay, let's farm. I made new Twitch emotes for my channel.
Fun.
That are very on point for me. Mm-hmm. I have made a pig, a no boop, and a boop. Because the no boop is no booping without consent. You must always ask your pig before you boop her.
Which, but you can't chat in the game, so you have to use nonverbal cues to do that.
Exactly. If that pig growls at you, run. Just saying, run.
All right. Let's go to Loki. You have a couple weeks. I saw you had a new Minecraft video this week over on your YouTube channel at Loki OLR. Plug, plug.
I did have a new Minecraft video. So I finished the Ninjago City build that I was doing. Now I got to add to it. And I've been playing on multiple servers recently. So it's I've wasted a few days just playing Minecraft instead of making stuff for Minecraft. So I'll be doing some more stuff for that soon. I'm in the design process for that. I know what I wanted to make. I just have to design it. And then I played a little bit of Poppy's Playtime, Chapter 1. This is the new hotness as far as horror games go. So it's
Oh, God, I saw someone streaming this the other night. It looked fucking scary. It's got a Five Nights vibe because it's all like the play things, right? But it's like she was in a vent, like climbing around the vent and like the little oh my God, I couldn't play this. I could not play this. No.
I do like it. It reminds me a little bit like the puzzle solving in Portal because of the mechanics that they have in it. So it's pretty fun. But yeah, it's definitely more of like a scary, almost FNAF type game. I'm curious to see how this compares to, like, say, the new FNAF game coming out. So be curious to see how that is. And then aside from that, I played a little bit of Orna because I got a new phone. So I was just messing around with that to see how much it's changed. And it's changed quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'm not very interested in it, though. It's more of like, you know, I'm sitting here, kids are doing piano, and I have nothing to do. I've run out of internet to look at. I'm going to play Orna for a sec. Yeah, I don't know. Something talking about not having the staying power. A couple things I did want to mention, though, because I haven't gotten to mention it yet. So the game that you guys know called Pixel Poops Number 2 is being featured in a magazine. So
yes.
The next issue of Cool Shit Magazine.
Bobby brought this up on his show. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yes. It was the week we were out. Yeah.
So Cool Shit Magazine, which is, I think, a UK publication, somewhat indie. They cover like retro gaming and stuff like that. And so they're going to have, they had like a kind of a giveaway thing where the guy was running an ad, a one-page ad, and he was also raffling off, I guess, a couple like preview spots. And so I got one of the preview spots, so he's going to cover the game as a preview and like play through it and stuff and like talk about that. And then also at the same time, there's the, I want to say it's a Midwest Gaming Conference or convention or something like that. Gaming Classic, Midwest Gaming Classic. There's the folks at Nestmaker that are there as well. Oh. And they have it's still in beta and it's not really open to the public yet. Retroverse site, which is going to be featuring all of the Nestmaker games that people have made. And of course, one of those being Pixel Poops Number 2. So there's a chance that people that are at Midwest Gaming Classic or were at that got a chance to play Pixel Poops Number 2. So
that's I've been getting emails on that. Like, did you give them my email? I've been getting emails on that, but I'm like, oh, that's nice. No. But it's like too far for me to really travel out there on a moment's notice. But I've been seeing, I didn't realize that was tied to your. Or either that or it's a big enough thing where...
No, it's a big, it's a big convention.
Wow.
It's not just... Yeah.
I don't know how the hell they got my email, but cool. Good. Good.
They had a booth, yeah. So they had a booth, and there's some of the developers that also had booths there, so...
One of them must be a listener. So one of them... That's it. One of them's a listener, I bet. So shout out.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to have to pick up a copy of that magazine once it comes out. I don't know how to pick it up. Maybe Barnes & Noble has something like that. I don't know. I don't know how wide their publication is.
You might be able to order from Amazon UK. Sometimes they'll ship to the US and sometimes Amazon Canada will ship.
We also have some very kind listeners in the UK who may reach out to you on Twitter and maybe can help you arrange something like that. So at Loki OLR.
Also, I think the guy has, so they do have an actual website as well, which I'll link in chat here. So they actually, I think they sell through the website as well.
Nice.
But. I'll
I really want to see that. I mean, if let me know how ordering the magazine goes. I'll order my own copy if it goes well. So let me know. That's awesome. Just some quick follow-ups in chat before I lose them. Questbuster did some research and wanted to mention the Transformers game that we brought up earlier, that new AR game coming out. Questbuster did some research and found it's an indie studio named Very Very Spaceship working with Niantic. Thank you for researching that. I appreciate you. That's what I thought was that it was not actually developed by Niantic. And Pod Culture about the Poppy, what's that game called? Poppy Makes You Poop?
No, it was Poppy's Playhouse.
That's it, Poppy's Playhouse, okay.
Because I was watching It's Me, Holly last night.
That's who, God damn it, you always follow me on Twitter. That's who I was watching. Was Holly,
well,
I was
there
lurking.
After she played it, and she was talking about it. While she was playing Medium.
I'm just dying. You guys seriously don't know. I will be in a channel, and finally I'll decide to unlurk and say, because like I usually watch on my Xbox, I have to get on my phone to actually type a message, and I'll say something, and then Dark Soccer goes, Rob, she is always in. I'm like, do you have 10 tabs open with all the channels I watch? You're
no.
always there. It's just funny.
Like every
You're
so often, I may lurk in a few other people's channels, like especially if I followed a raid.
Yeah.
But most of the time, I pick one person and stay there.
But that's why, yeah, Holly is who I was watching play it as well. She's very fun and animated and, yeah, that game. So anyway, okay, so about that game, Pod Culture said, next Vogue Point event, Rob plays this game live. And SSGO 100 Matt says, not enough points to get Rob to play that. Matt is correct. You want this to happen? We're going to be talking cash. We're going to be talking charity event. What charity? I don't know. Maybe cats, because that's a thing. Especially thinking about what Loki's going through, and that's the thing we all love. We all love our cats, so maybe a cat charity. But I'm not going to set an amount yet. I have to crunch some numbers and figure out what sounds realistic to do something like that. But no, you want that? You have to show the money to the cats to make that happen. So we'll
is
see.
Is this like a Five Nights type game?
It's art not stylized. Like it's not necessarily in the style. I mean, it's Five Nights as far as like there's like animatronic things that are alive. It's basically it is a first person like puzzle game, but there's horror stuff in it as well. So that's why
this
I kind of
like
compared
fun.
It to Portal a little bit, because you've got these kind of like grabber hands that you put on, and so you solve puzzles
cute.
With it. It's pretty cool.
This looks
but
really
it's also
cute.
Horror. Yeah.
Scary as fuck.
No, it doesn't look scary. It looks adorable.
It's not necessarily adorable. You probably want to play it.
But scary stuff is, of course, it's only on PC.
I think it's a really small studio, maybe like even one person just putting it together. So they only have one chapter right now that's out. That's like $5, but in each episode is going to be like $5 as well.
I'm still going to go ahead and buy it now because I might be able to play this on ARM. So that'd be cool.
Mike Deft warns, don't have more than 3 tabs of Twitch opened. I forgot that was a thing. Yeah. SG100 Matt says, I think all your views don't count because it thinks you're a bot. It thinks you're a view bot if you have more than 3 open.
Oh, well, I don't have any more than that usually.
Yeah. SG100 Matt says, geez, am I the only one not wanting to see a friend get traumatized? Thank you. But like I said earlier, cats are more important than people. So I'll get traumatized to try to save a cat. I'll do it. So there you go. All right, Loki, I'm sorry. We derailed a little bit from your gaming week. So what else? Sorry, Alan came in the room. Alan, the viewers are talking about Polly's Playroom.
Hey,
you got to know
time.
This. Playtime.
Poppy Playtime.
So,
yeah,
okay.
Poppy Playtime.
So they are trying to get me to play Poppy's Playtime and with Vogue points. And I'm like, oh, no. You want to see this happen? You got to show money. And we're going to do like a cat charity or something like that if you want Poppy Playtime to happen. Are you familiar with Poppy Playtime? Alan walked in the room. Let me let him make comment. Have you seen this game, Alan? What did you think?
I can't really get on camera the way it's set up right now. Episode 1 is out. It's a very short demo. I don't want to give it away. Basically, there's just one really intense sequence, and then if you make it through that, then it's like, congrats, wait for episode 2. So, I mean, I would say that you would be better off playing that than you would a Five Nights at Freddy's, TBH. I mean, it's scary, but it's just, you know, it's a build-up and then, you know, the climax.
All right, fair enough. Thank you for popping in.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah, what?
You're going to want to check your Steam in about 5 minutes.
Oh, you... You're so... I mean, like, I want to call you names, but then it's like, when you send me gifts, like, it's hard to call you names. But just know, the urge is there.
There you go. Right. And you'll probably like the name I sent it from, too.
Great. All right. All right, Loki, we've
derailed you. Congratulations, Rob. You have a scary game.
The cats say thank you. Loki, I've derailed your gaming week 3 times now. Anything else for your gaming week?
That's it. I'm probably going to have to dust off my Xbox Series X, though, for next week because, you know, we got Forza Horizon 5 coming, so I got to play a little bit of that at least.
Our pal Bobby Blackwolf was got to have the look at that game because he did the, you know, edition that had the early launch, and his reactions on his show were very good. Very, very good. Thank you. Alan just brought into the room and reminded me. So, Dark Sakura, can you see my cam, Dark Sakura? Do you have Twitch open?
I usually don't play the thing while I'm... For some reason, it says I'm not hosting. Hold on, give me just a second.
Because Alan came in here and reminded me we have something for you, Dark Sakura. And I can't... Alan, can you hold that closer to the cam
The
name... Can the name is a little...
I see it.
See, it actually says Sakura. But in addition to that, Alan decided he wanted to add something extra into it. Can you put that on cam as well?
Please.
Yeah. Or whatever. What? Oh, I thought you bought one for her.
That store is open now.
And Alan says they just opened this store at Arden Fair where I found this. It opened at Arden Fair on Saturday. So this.
Oh,
this,
Uniqlo.
No. Mini Sew.
Oh, okay.
And it just opened.
Oh, that's cool.
Wait, are these for Jamie or?
Oh,
those are for you. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. These are not for you, Jamie. Sorry. He just wants to show them
thanks.
Off.
Thanks.
But he got a Pokemon face mask with Mew, and I think there's some other Pokemon face masks as well. There's an Act Def. That's an Act Def face mask.
Yeah.
So there you go. Mike Def says, we have a mini so where I live. Well, there you go. You got to go get that Kirby face mask.
And then last one, sorry.
Oh, that one's super cute. I don't know what that's supposed to be, but it's
going
cute.
To the... Oh, I know the creme shop. I buy a lot of their masks.
I saw all the new Build-A-Bear Animal Crossing figures. They had them in the storefront when we went by there the other day. They had a line out the door for something. I don't know.
Probably
what it
those.
Was. It certainly wasn't Animal Crossing stuff.
I just ordered my Tom Nook holiday ornament.
Love it.
From
all
the
right.
Evil G.
My gaming week, kind of along the same lines as Dark Sakura. I had a lot going on this week. I've been going hog on Pikmin Bloom. Like, Pikmin Bloom kind of came out at a really good time where I'm trying to really change my lifestyle. And, you know, of these past couple years, COVID has taken its toll in many, many, many ways. And walking is something I really need to be doing more of. And I think Pikmin's, like, this game came out at the right time to really incentivize some of that. So I'm level 17 in Pikmin Bloom. I'm not the highest on my friends list, though. Somebody I'm friends with in Korea is level 20, I think 21 at this point. So, but I've just been having a good time walking and just knowing that I'm leaving a little trail of flowers when I opt into it, and sending little Pikmin on adventures. You have to get, and for those that are getting into the game, you unlock things slowly. And I didn't even know this last week, but once you get to level 15, you have to get all the way to level 15, then you unlock Pikmin Bloom's version of raids, where you can go beat up on mushrooms, which I guess is from the console games, and you get little like postcards and limited petal things from that. So you get like some good stuff from that. So, Pikmin Bloom is super cute, and I'm still playing that. Otherwise, kind of the same stuff. Final Fantasy 14. I am just got my warrior to 77, and that is my last job to get to 80. I hit Black Mage 80 in the last week, so I've only one more job to get to 80, and then everything will be 80. Only other thing to really mention for my game of week, No Man's Sky. It took me a little bit because the new expedition came out that weekend I went to Disneyland. But I was like, okay, 2 weeks is enough for them to patch everything that went wrong with the expedition when it came out. So I started playing the expedition like for realsies. And I'm up to phase 2 in the expedition. I just got to the second rendezvous point in there. So I've still got a few more phases to go. It's all about worms, sandworms that fly out of the planet. And it didn't hit me.
Okay, Tremors.
Well, no, what it is, it's not officially a tie-in, but you know it's timed because of Dune. It's a tie-in to the Dune movie, although not officially. So they did the Sandworm Expedition right when the Dune movie released. So not Tremors, but close. So I think, anyway, obviously they're not going to confirm or deny that, but it is a very interesting coincidence for sure. So that is what's going on in No Man's Sky. All right. That's it for our gaming weeks. I don't have any show schedule updates to really get out there. As far as I know, we're not having any shows off in the future. So let's move on. We still need to schedule. You guys did meet the point reward for Orange Lounge Foodio. I just need to pin down a date with my co-host for that to happen. So we'll work on that. It will be sometime this month, just in time for Thanksgiving. All right. In the meantime, let's get into some gaming news. And Loki's going to start us off tonight with kind of the company that's been a reoccurring headline in the last few months.
Yeah, so Activision Blizzard. So the announcement that Jen O'Neill, who was one of the... I'm not exactly sure what position she had. She was, I guess, one of the top positions in Blizzard. And that was kind of a big deal because, you know, female in a top position at a company that's has allegedly very misogynistic tendencies. She is stepping down immediately, or at least I should say at the end of the year, she will be stepping down. And Mike Ybarra is going to be taking over those duties as well. And, you know, basically...
Of course, a dude.
Yeah, according to the ABK Alliance, you know, they said this is a sad moment for many of us at ABK who are very excited to have a new experience with women of color heading our company. We found out during our shareholder meeting and wish Jen well in her future endeavors. Along with that as well, and I'm not sure if this is related to the drama, but apparently Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4 have been delayed to 2023. They're still planning to deliver substantial amounts of content from Blizzard next year, but now planning later launches for those two games.
Define substantial. I'm going to guess the Diablo mobile game, I think, is finally going to launch. I think they've said it's going to launch early 2022, but beyond that, question mark. I don't know. Maybe a Hearthstone expansion or something, but it's. I don't think substantial is an interesting word for them to use.
Now's and this, the chance. We're going to get so many Candy Crush updates.
This plays into what I said last week. I know you weren't here, Loki, but you certainly heard about the virtual BlizzCon getting canceled early next year. And I said, what do they have to show? They have games that they've shown already. And if they want to give an update on Overwatch 2, they'll just drop a trailer out of nowhere on us. You know what I mean? And so now, of course, a week later, we hear the games get delayed. Another, you know, which, again, okay, I'm of two minds of this. And I said this last week, and I'm sorry to repeat myself. I'm of two minds of this. Yes, I understand the great Miyamoto, and I agree with this. And I understand the great quote that we always say, everybody always fucking says with delays. Yes. A good game is always good, but a bad game is forever bad, and no one will remember that you delayed a game, blah, 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 blah. We all know that. Yes, I do agree with that. However, guess what? No game makes no money. And Blizzard is really in a circumstance here, especially with WoW losing the players that they've been losing. Like, WoW has, or Blizzard has got to figure out how to get these games out faster. They really do. I don't understand how, like, a new Call of Duty game will be all hands on fucking deck around Activision, but Overwatch won't. And yes, before somebody in chat corrects me, yes, Call of Duty sells buku millions, billions. Yes, that is the very clear reason why it is all hands on deck for a Call of Duty game. Why can't it be some hands on deck for Overwatch, though? You know, to try to, and look, I get there's a certain level of quality we expect. Yes, that can all be true with the right oversight of the game. But, like, Blizzard has got to step on it. And all these people, like the Overwatch guy leaving, the Diablo guy leaving, Jen O'Neill now leaving, isn't helping. It's not helping the speed situation. Like, Blizzard needs new leadership. Mike Ybarra, okay, cool. Like, he did a lot of good stuff with Microsoft. Let's see what he's got. I'm not going to discount him. Let's see if he, you know, has it in him to fix what's going on with Blizzard, you know. But I also kind of think he can't do it alone. I don't necessarily mean he needs a co-chair. I thought it was nice, but he probably doesn't need one. But he's going to need support all the way from the top at Activision, for sure. Anyway. Mike Deft in chat says, the thing here, Rob, with all the people that left over the past 6 months, how can they work on a game without any sort of leadership or management? And honestly, it is somebody has got to come in and clean up the rodeo and get it going fast. Mike Ybarra has a big job ahead of him. Big. Jen O'Neill did too, but she found an option that worked better for her. At the same time, for her professional growth, good for her. is anyone going to fault her for leaving Blizzard to, what is it, start her own charity or work on this board of this charity or whatever it is that supports the wider picture of supporting women in gaming? Am I getting that all correct? Is her, yes. her reasons for leaving? Who's going to fault her for that? But somebody's still got to come in and clean up the mess. I don't know. It's just sad. I do feel like the big card, the T card that Blizzard might have in their pocket for 2022. And I'm going to say it now. This I think absolutely this has to happen, whether it's a mess or not. They're going to drop Wrath of the Lich King Classic. Wow. Absolutely. Because that was the peak of World of Warcraft. And I do feel like there are people that will go back to World of Warcraft specifically for that expansion. I don't think it'll be nearly as many as played WoW in the heyday, but that's the T card that Blizzard has in their back pocket that I do think they will drop in 2022 when that probably wasn't in their original plan. Anyway.
It's worth waiting to see.
Yeah. SSG100 Matt says Lost Vikings. Ooh, a new Lost Vikings project. Wouldn't that be fabulous? I think that would be great.
It'd be nice, but would it happen?
Probably not. It is a little niche at this point, unless, you know, Blizzard, whoever, can put a really shiny coat of paint on it. The other card that Blizzard has in their back pocket, Vicarious Visions. They did a really good job with the Diablo 2 remaster, honestly. The only problem with the Diablo 2 remaster is that it was Diablo 2. It was, that's not a bad, hold on, before you put your pitchforks and torches down. Diablo 2 is a great game. It is a monumental game in gaming history, but it's an old game. And there's a lot of quality of life things that have changed a lot in the industry and with those types of games since then. And it's a little hard sometimes to go back to that old way with Diablo 2. Otherwise, Vicarious Visions did a really good job with the Diablo 2 remaster. So the big question mark, what is Vicarious Visions working on now? Is it another remaster? And that was the studio that Jen O'Neill had. That was her studio. That's where she was pulled from. What is the game that they are working on? And if anybody's doing a Lost Vikings remake justice, them. But we'll see. But I think that is the big question that we have to figure out to see if there really are monumental Blizzard releases coming this year. What is Vicarious Visions working on? That is the $50,000 question. Moving on.
Indeed.
Let's talk about another studio that's having a lot of problems internally, and it's one that admittedly we probably haven't shown the spotlight on enough because, you know, just looking at the games that we tend to talk about here on OLR, we collectively as the hosts have probably spent more time playing the World of Warcrafts, the Overwatches, the Diablos than we have the Far Cries, the Assassin's Creed. Not to say we don't play those games, just not as many hours spent on them.
I used to play Far Cry, just not, you know.
But did you hear what I said? Not as many hours, right? Collectively, no. Between the three of us. So we don't often shine the light on Ubisoft. I think one, a lot of people, the Super Mario Rayman Rabbids, the tech game that was, why can't I remember the name? Mario versus Rabbids, Mario Rabbids, that whole thing. That's Ubisoft. Anyway, the point is, I've been sitting here on the show going, it has been X number of days since the ABK letter's been responded to. What I have failed to highlight, and I'm sorry, is that the Ubisoft letter has also gone unresponded to, and as of the taping of tonight's show, still has. In fact, it has been 100 days as of November 5th, so today would be day 102. At Twitter account, A Better Ubisoft, very familiar to what we saw with A Better ABK, A Better Ubisoft tweeted, 100 days ago, we signed our open letter and set our four key demands. None of our demands have been met. So today, we're launching a new petition open for all of our supporters to sign. And it is basically targeted right at Yves Guillemot in another tweet saying, you disappoint us. 100 days, zero demands met. Surely you can do better than this. Interesting, the phrasing is right out of those Far Cry 6 emails that were sent to all the people that were playing that game and then kind of like abandoned it for a few days. They got those emails out of the blue that were like, you disappoint me. It's like from the villain in the game.
Oh,
clever.
Gosh.
Clever. clever.
Are they really
play
like spamming you if you don't play their stupid game?
Oh yeah, this is a whole big thing because it led into a discussion about how the games track your play and all that stuff. But you when you click the agreed all those terms and conditions for Uplay or whatever it's called, guess what? You told them they could email you. Yeah. So that's why people are getting emails.
Yeah, but don't. There's also other ways of getting the emails blocked.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. If I got one of those emails, I just report as spam. Done. The Gmail filters are pretty good on that, as are most email systems. As a reminder, the four A Better Ubisoft key demands. Number one, stop promoting and moving known offenders from studio to studio, team to team with no repercussions. The cycle needs to end. Number two, we want a collective seat at the table to have a meaningful say in how Ubisoft as a company moves forward from here. Number three, cross-industry collaboration to agree on a set of ground rules and processes that all studios can use to handle these offenses in the future. Number four, this collaboration must heavily involve employees in non-management positions and union representatives. What here is so fucking crazy? They're like, honestly, these are really this bar is very low.
Yeah.
In my opinion, number five, in my opinion, underline bolded, number five should be the resignation of Yves Guillemot.
Mm.
Yeah.
But
absolutely,
they're not going to go there. Certainly, the employees aren't going to go there. I will go there. Number five should be the resignation of Yves Guillemot. Why not? Give Jay Allard a call. Why don't you see how he's doing? Run a company like shit, get a shitty result.
Totally.
The petition is disgusting. Quite simply, I support, it's a Google Doc, so that's why it's a little tricky. I can't just give you the URL, but I can give you the link to the Twitter account, A Better Ubisoft. 100 days since our open letter, and none of our demands have been met. This new petition is open to everyone who supports A Better Ubisoft campaign. Please add your name, show your support of @ABetterUbisoft on Twitter, and share this link. I will fill this out on the show right now and say from all of us at the world's longest running video game podcast, Orange Lounge Radio. But of course, we should all sign individually as well. But I'm going to go ahead and sign it from your friends at Orange Lounge Radio. And our thoughts to those employees at Ubisoft who I don't think are asking for anything unrealistic by having a seat at the table. SSJ100 Matt in chat says, why does Yves Guillemot still have a job? It's baffling to me he's still there. It all happened on his watch. Everyone else got let go except him. I understand he's the co-founder CEO, but why isn't the board pressing anything?
Because men.
I do not have an answer outside of what Dark Soccer just said. There is no answer. There is no spoon. There is nothing. It doesn't make sense. Resign, bitch. All right.
Because he's got a dick. I mean, I'm sorry.
I'm laughing at Twitch, not you. Sorry.
For anyone who thinks that calling something out like that is misandry, you can, first of all, take your tiny little brain, vomit it, and then shove it back up your ass. And number two, this is the way that the world is. I am not wrong. Just saying.
The comment that made me laugh on Twitch, SSU100 Matt says, sign it from that Catholic school that tagged OLR in that random tweet. We get tagged. Go check out OLR's Twitter. We get tagged in the. Okay, look, we're very lucky. We've been on Twitter so fucking long. The show's existed so fucking long. We have a 3-letter Twitter name. You actually can't get those anymore. My old Twitter name used to be Sky, SKIE. I can't get it back, even if I wanted to. I don't, because I don't really go by Sky online anymore. My brand, quote unquote, is Rob Roberts, or on Twitter, because a spammer got it, Mr. Rob Roberts. So follow, plug. You can't get a Twitter name with less than 4 characters at this point anymore. So the fact that we're sitting on OLR, number one, is a gold mine anyway. But number two, we get, like, there's all sorts of, I guess there's some fucking school out there that's OLR, because we were getting tagged in, like, bullshit referee call. Just go look at twitter.com/OLR. It's weird. And I replied to it, and I quote tweeted it, and I said, ma'am, this is a podcast. I thought it was funny. Anyway. All right. Oh, did they say they took it down? Really? Hold on.
This is it was deleted.
They deleted the tweet after I quote tweeted? Victory! Da 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 da.
Paying attention.
That was pretty funny, though. I did like the. Ma'am, this is a podcast.
Oh my god! I can't believe my little bitch tweet got them to take it down. I'm so excited. Pod Culture says my personal Twitter at Boyer got spammed by NASCAR shit constantly because there's a guy in NASCAR with that name. Yeah, I just started an alt Twitter. I'll give you the name. It's not that kind of alt. It's an alt for my Niantic stuff. I'll drop the tweet one time. I shouldn't say just Niantic, but AR Gaming. It's OMG. It's Rob. Is that Twitter. And that's where I'm going to do all my shit posts about, I did this banner, I did this walk, I did this, and kind of post my achievements there. I didn't want to flood my main feed with that. So I did an alt Twitter this week, for that. So, we'll see what kind of random shit I get tagged in on that account. Because when I looked into it, there was an OMG It's Rob 2, but there wasn't just an OMG It's Rob. And I was like, I'll take it. Yoink. Somebody.
Maybe then that means that there was one and it was deleted.
Yeah. Probably
after that one was made.
I wish the Rob Roberts account would get deleted so I could get it. But unfortunately, there's me. There's apparently some politician in the UK who kind of sounds like an ass. There's some DJ in Australia, New Zealand. And there is some rugby player. All of us named Rob Roberts. So it will be a fight to who gets that name first once the spammer disappears. Fingers crossed. It should be me, damn it. I've been on Twitter the longest. All right. Anyway, moving on. I'm sorry. We derailed a long way from a very serious topic, but I do want to reemphasize, speaking of Twitter, check out what's going on with a better Ubisoft and latest updates and resign Yzgimon. Let's move on. Let's try to get some happy news, Dark Sakura.
So a game called Tetris the Grandmaster is getting a home port. And then they said it was going to be delayed. So they announced the port by announcing that the announcement has been delayed. Does that make sense?
Yes. This game is coming out eventually.
This is the same arcade version from 1998, which was considered one of the best ones and is often used for speedruns and mm-hmm. competition.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there were other sequels like Tetris the Absolute Grandmaster 2 Plus and Tetris the Grandmaster 3 Terror Instinct. What's terror about Tetris, please? Thank you. But this tweet is actually... Hold on. I'm gonna read it. Okay. The announcement about the TGM series for home use, which was scheduled for today, has not been released yet due to the reasons other than Arika. I guess that's the company?
Yes, company.
In addition, although it is a new TGM work that is under consideration separately, there is a request from the licensor side that I want you to make the case success as a condition, so it is very legitimate. It's a bad translation. But basically it means this is real. It is a real game, but we're not supposed to announce it yet.
Wild.
I think they just worked around being told not to announce it.
Interesting. Dart Tatsuya in chat says, I don't know if he'll be at GameZone quick, but talking to our old friend Kevin. Yes, one of our listeners who used to go by Kevin DDR, I don't think he goes by that anymore. I think he changed his branding, but he is very well known for doing Tetris at GameZone quick. He had listened to the show back in the day. I don't know if he still does, but hello if you're listening. And has done some very impressive like he did Tetris blindfolded this game, if I remember right. Well, no, that can't be possible because you have to know what
I was going to say. How do you
things
do that?
Are coming up. He did. There was something wild he did with this game. I remember. Somebody in chat remind me what it was. But anyway, the full comment Dr. Tatsuya said is that from talking to our old friend, he's thinking this is a compilation of the three TGM arcade games. So it might be like a compilation. That would be really cool. And, you know, the Switch has been getting a lot of like arcade ports. You know, we talked about it again last week. The whole series of the... Oh my God, what Arcade Archives and you know the console archives and that whole news. Arcade Archives, there's been a lot of arcade ports on Switch. Not that this is falling into that same branding, but it is, you know, very interesting. And Dr. Tatsuya says he made Grandmaster, which is not an easy feat at all. So that's really cool. Well, congratulations. I'll check this game out. Oh, the other thing, that is like a neat. Apparently, Tetris 99 is by that Akira company, although they kind of did it in a partnership with Nintendo. Arika did this in partnership with Nintendo, the Tetris 99. So a lot of people have already played that style of Tetris. But I think it's neat that there's room for all of this Tetris, because you can look at Tetris 99, you can look at Tetris Effect, and you can look at Tetris the Grandmaster and go, these are all great Tetris games. And then you can look at what Jellico did on the PlayStation with that Tetris release and go, that is a shit Tetris game. But anyway, I digress. I don't know if you ever played Tetris on PlayStation. It was horrible. All right.
I play one Tetris. Sorry, two Tetrises.
Two Tetrises.
And two only.
Two Tetri.
Tetrises?
I don't know what the plural would be. What are the two?
It's the NES one and the Game Boy one.
Yep, those are good ones. Tetranet? I think
Tetranet was great. I miss Tetranet.
Yeah, it was a little throwback to Tetranet. I don't know how much of that exists. We need a Tetranet stream. Oh my god, is Tetranet still a thing?
I have no idea.
Okay, maybe I'm going to put my foot in my mouth, but I'm saying it anyway. Next OLR, or I'm sorry, next VOG point redeem thing, Tetranet night. I'm so in for that. Darksoccer, would you do a Tetranet night?
If I can get it to run on this, yeah, for sure.
If we can play it, sure. All right. All right, moving on. Let's go on to our next story, Loki.
Yeah, so apparently there was some game that's being developed by the folks behind the Mafia 3 series. And so Hangar 13 was working on this ambitious, I guess, new IP for Take-Two, and unfortunately it's been canceled. So Hangar 13's latest project, when they pursue new intellectual properties, we occasionally may encounter situations that call for cancellation. We encourage our teams to pursue their passions and take creative risks, blah 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 blah. They didn't do it. So not sure what it was gonna be. The game went by a code name Volt or Voltron, so maybe something similar to like Anthem, something like that. Maybe we can speculate all day, but I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just wait a good 5-10 years or so when somehow a working build of this game leaks out into the public, you know, and we'll figure it out then. Kitty.
It's a Midna.
Aw.
I have grabbed her against her will. What do you have to say about that, Boo?
Smush never comes in here during the show, I guess.
He yells at you from across the house.
He did. Get when down. We were all in person, he would, because he was like, oh, new people. Oh, Auntie Jamie. You know, he would do those types of things.
Me.
Yeah. So, but now it's just like, oh, I see that guy all the time. I'm not going to go over there. So, anyway.
A cat in the neighborhood named Blue. She is a gray short hair cat. She now knows that I work from home. And if we leave the front door, we have a screen door in the front door. Or if I leave the side door open in the kitchen here, she will come up and meow at the door for me to come outside to pet her belly.
Aww.
And today she tried to run into the house when I was going back inside.
Nope.
I'm like, nope. You can't go in there.
Congratulations. You have another cat.
I know.
I don't know,
I know
whose cat it is. It's one of the neighbor's cats. She always smells like laundry. She always smells like laundry sheets. And I'm not sure if that's something like that.
There are worse things a cat can smell like.
No, I bet she's cuddling up against a dryer because it's warm. I think that might be a serious answer.
Maybe. I don't know. But she's one of the neighbor's cats. I just don't know who.
Knock it off.
I found a kitty friend when I was doing a walk recently during Pikmin at the park, and I was afraid I was going to make the Loki mistake. I was petting the kitty, and it's adorable, but no collar. I couldn't see that the ear was chipped or anything like that. And I'm like, oh god, this is probably a neighborhood cat, but like very friendly to humans. Most ferals kind of hiss at the humans; they don't really come up to you.
A real feral will do that. Yeah. A lot of people, though, there's a lot of assholes out there, especially now in this COVID period.
Yeah.
That have adopted COVID pets and abandoned them.
I know.
And
I
you know what
it.
Those people are?
Assholes.
They're shit.
Yeah. Anyway, we digressed. It's always back to cats, but that's fine. But we digressed from the big budget game that got canceled. So this is a $53 million Project Take-Two canceled.
Yeah.
That is... Wow. You know, you know what I'm reminded of? Funny enough, Blizzard. Blizzard canceled, and I can't remember the name of the game now. Somebody in chat might remember. It was a pro... Well, they never announced the game. It was always Project. It was Project... Atlas? I don't remember the name of it, but it was like
it may have been Atlas.
It was a huge thing that they were undertaking. Well, the point is, Overwatch was born of that because it was supposed to be, I guess, they never really said what it was all about, but it was some type of like MMO type of thing where like you would go into these combat areas and the combats were Overwatch. And so what they did, they built that out into its own game. And a lot of the characters in the original Overwatch were supposed to be for that. Thank you, Tiger Claw. It is Titan was the name of it. It was Project Titan.
Ah, yeah.
That is it. Titan, and a lot of those characters that were especially in the original Overwatch were from that Project Titan game. So my point is, because I'm sitting here going, well, that's $53 million down the fucking drain, right? You got to be pissed off if you're a shareholder or you're somebody that's, you know, on the board of this company. But maybe there's a way they can reuse some of what they built in something else. It just depends on what it is, which, of course, we don't know. There's rumors.
Better yet, though, what are they going to work on?
I mean, I'm sure something else is lined up. Grand Theft Auto 6. We need people to help. Oh, well, Grand Theft Auto Remaster. Chinatown Wars Remaster. What haven't they remastered yet, Loki? That's what they're going to work on. So, anyway.
They haven't remastered Bully. Everybody wants a Bully remaster.
Or a Bully sequel.
Bully 2, yeah.
That's not a terrible idea. Who knows? I guess anything's possible, but they'll probably play it close to chest. It'll probably be like the Titan thing where we won't really figure it out until a couple years later when either the derivative game comes out or a former employee eventually squeals because they figure the NDA doesn't apply to them anymore, even though it technically does. But you know how people will squeal eventually. It just might be a few years. So, all right, moving on. You got to love this headline. Bowser pleads guilty, and that's exactly what's going on. Is that
about time?
Yep, that's right. They caught him. They got him, gals. All right,
you've been arrested for 83 charge, or you're being charged with 83 counts of kidnapping, false imprisonment,
setting fire in places where it shouldn't be. All right, look. I am not talking about Bowser, the villain in Mario. I am not talking about Doug Bowser. I am talking about Gary Bowser, who was in the news previously as part of Team Executor. Doesn't that sound like a very Bowser-sounding name? It was a hacking group.
I have purchased so many of their products, and I'm very disappointed.
That was selling software and hardware. I don't think you should admit that, Logie. Software, allegedly.
Oh,
he
whatever.
Was buying it. It was research it was purposes.
It was...
research.
I had it... Well, I don't have it anymore because,
okay.
Or maybe I don't remember. But it was I had a chipped Wii to be able to mod stuff with that, and then never could mod anything with it too. I mean, eventually they had like easier things you don't even need.
I was gonna say
the disc drive for.
I didn't have a chip.
The Xbox 360 also they did a lot of repair kits. I'd gone through a lot of their repair kits for the Red Ring of Death type stuff, so that was another thing that I perused them from for. And I think an actual, like, I don't know. I bought lots of their things.
Well, anyway, Team Executor believed that they were advocating for homebrew programs and a consumer's right to repair their own property, which, in that regard, points are made. However, the Japanese company Nintendo teamed up with the U.S. government, and so you got many nations involved in bringing charges against Gary Bowser and Team Executor. And the court documents called them a criminal enterprise that was over a dozen individual members located around the world. And eventually... they pleaded guilty. So we have 48-year-old French national Max Loran and 51-Canadian man Gary Bowser who were arrested. And Bowser was in the Dominican Republic. So surely you're following all the rules when you flee to another country that, you know, is much smaller. But anyway, he's been extradited to the United States, and that's where he's been. And yeah,
I'm glad we're going after these large criminals that clearly caused Nintendo so much loss in money.
He pleaded guilty to conspiracy to circumvent technological measures and trafficking in circumvention's devices, which both carry maximum prison sentences of 5 years. Although I would imagine if he pled guilty, he will not get that maximum sentence. He's probably hoping for something like probation. So we will see. Let's see. The FBI. Raymond Duda of the FBI was quoted saying, "Imagine if something you invented was stolen from you and then marketed and sold to customers around the world. That's exactly what Team Executor was doing. This is a perfect example of why the FBI has made the prevention of theft and intellectual property a priority. These arrests should send a message to would-be pirates that the FBI does not consider these crimes to be a game." I feel like that should be said
okay,
with the FBI logo on a splash screen.
Thank you, boomers, for like that wonderful, you know.
No, it wasn't. His name wasn't Boomer. It was Duda, I think. Or I closed the window already.
it's so stupid though. Like, seriously, like, I get it, like, yeah, mod chips and stuff, but like, you could go back to like even like PlayStation and stuff like that. Yeah, there are mod chips that they had out there that you could pirate a game and run it on there, but you could also use it to play stuff from other regions. Or although I think that, you know, honestly though, I think the systems are region free for at least like some of the more modern systems, but there are other applications, playing modded games, for example. I did a lot of modded Grand Theft Auto. I didn't necessarily have executor products when it came to running that stuff. That was just, you know, hard drive or disk drive flashes. But, you know, we played a lot of modded stuff with it, and no harm to other people, because I owned, like, you know, my copy of Grand Theft Auto 4 at the time. But I don't know. I think it's stupid to go after these mod chip creators. It's not like it's destroying this console. I think it's a whole different situation now than, like, say, it was a long time ago. Because I think now it's just really easy and convenient to buy games.
Yep.
I don't know.
All right.
Let's put it this way now. Like, they're almost out of the market anyways, because it's probably even easier to emulate some of these systems before it is to, you know, like we talked about, like the Switch emulation and stuff like that. It's like, well, oh darn, I can't mod my Switch now. I guess I'll just have to emulate it on PC instead and get around all of those problems.
All right.
Stupid.
Let's move
on.
Sort of
like they're built, creating this circumstance all on their own. And
it's also Nintendo. It's just Nintendo is just the wrong take on so many things.
All right, let's move on to another sort of mod and questionable usage of IP, right? Dark Side. Oh, I guess
it is not.
It's more
I'm gonna
parody.
Vehemently defend this in just
all
a
right,
second.
All right, let Dark Soccer talk about our next story. Next story.
Oh, never mind, because I forgot to bring it up. That was my bad. So there is a clone out there. There we go. Sorry. For some reason, it kept opening the wrong article. There is a game out there that is a clone based off of Squid Game.
It's legally distinct.
It is legally distinct. It is inspired by it, I should say, and offered up for free on Steam. It's called Crab Game. And it has like the different childhood games, where you have to basically do them or die, or do them well and die, or die. Like The Floor is Lava, or Red Light, Green Light. And I don't know how to feel about this, but no. I want it.
Loki clearly has feelings.
This is created by a guy that goes by Danny on, he's a YouTuber and Unity developer, and he's been making games for a very long time. He's very entertaining to watch. He has another game out that's very popular on Steam right now called Muck, which is kind of a survival type game. Kind of not in Minecraft per se, but it's just like a survival game, and it's just ridiculous. But this, yeah, obviously it is definitely based on the gameplay of, say, Squid Game, but he's taken it to another level where he's added a bunch of unique games into it as well, and different spins on the games that were in the actual show.
And I'm saying a lot of this. A lot of my talk is very tongue in cheek because, I mean, the Squid Game stuff. You're right; it's all based on childhood games anyway. Yeah. So a lot of this stuff is showing up everywhere. Ironically, back on in childhood, so when kids really shouldn't be watching Squid Game, but of course, they are anyway. And so
it's all in Roblox and stuff.
Who does their job anymore, right?
Yeah,
supposed to be a babysitter?
Who cares? Yeah, so they're playing Red Light, Green Light, but I guess when they lose, they get shot with a Nerf gun or something. I don't know, but that's what kids do on playgrounds now. So it's not surprising that, of course, it makes its way to video games, of course. And again, it's basically Fall Guys, right? Fall Guys was before the Squid Game phenomenon. Isn't that basically the same thing in a way? I mean, obviously, no. Yes, the games are different, but not that different.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I think it's really popular because it's free.
True.
Honestly, well, he kind of expanded it in the way, like, he wanted to take other, like, if Squid Game were made in the U.S. type of thing. So he has a bunch of, like, you know, U.S. games like Tag, or they have, like, Hide and Seek, Bomb Tag's not a thing, but, like, they have a game that's sort of, like, not necessarily Splatoon, but it's kind of, like, you know, you have to touch panels on the wall and the floor, and they change to your color, and, of course, then there's, you know, the red light, green light.
Let me tell you, a game Dark Soccer and I never shut up about, Dead by Daylight, is basically hide and seek, and I'm terrible at it.
So
it's a little bit more involved. But
okay,
yeah.
It does have some tag.
Especially the way people playing it today, my God.
It has some tag elements.
Lots
yeah,
of
so
tag.
It looks fun. It's also, you know, it's popular because, you know, everybody streaming it now because everybody wants to get on that, like, Squid Game hype. And now there's, like, a free-to-play game that kind of captures that. So everybody's just... I mean, everybody's doing Squid Game stuff now. It's just that's what's popular. They just did a big thing with the Minecraft streamers, like 200, you know, high-profile streamers and stuff, and they were doing Squid Game in Minecraft. And then they have the Crab Game stuff. You have Dream, who's a Minecraft streamer, also playing Crab Game. Just, like, it's just insanely popular. And it's free to play, so poor Danny's not getting any cash, though, from it. Make sure you go wishlist Carlson instead, his actual paid game.
Put ads in that game, buddy. Make that coin. You earned it. So, well, maybe he's worried about Netflix, but it sounds like it's super derivative enough that...
Oh,
like,
no, it's not even,
I mean,
close.
There was that story tonight on Bobby's show, or at least I remember him referencing it, about that Squid Game thing that had the NFTs that they were selling, NFTs. The character. Now, that is some bullshittery, and that's the type of stuff that, you know, it did get shut down. Didn't they steal, like, $3 million?
They rug pulled. Yeah, that's the thing with... it's not NFTs, it's, like, crypto coins, what? So these, like... trash coins or whatever that you will.
If
you hear about these new cryptos, it's like it's more times than not, it's just rug pulls where you get a bunch of people hyped up and you get them invested in it, and then the person that creates the coin takes all the money and leaves, and then the coin's worth nothing.
If those D-bags can take $3.4 million from Squid Game fans, then what's the guy's name that created this crab game?
Danny.
D-A-N-I. Danny.
Go
can
watch
put,
him on YouTube. He's hilarious.
Danny can put some quick 5-second, 10-second ads in his game and make that coin. He deserves it. So.
He really should. And also play Muck. Muck is really fun, too. It's also insanely hard.
All right.
He's got a lot of great games, actually.
DJ Rama S says, the Squid Game memes are hilarious. A lot of them are, but yeah, I mean, I get, was this game a meme of some sort? Maybe, I don't know. All right.
Well, the game has memes from his other games as well. Like, there's a whole bunch of...
Ah, there's
you have
a
to
good
watch this, like, you have to, like the red light, green light person, the model that they created has his face on it. It's just, like, stretched. It just looks weird. But, like, it's just silly, and it's free. It's just fun. I don't know.
I'll have to check it out. Let's move on. Who's got our next story? Loki?
Yeah, so this is really cool, actually. So there's a brand new feature that's coming to Forza Horizon 5 that adds actual ASL and BSL sign language support to the cinematics. So you actually have an interpreter on screen during the cinematics signing all of the dialogue in there. Now, whereas some folks may use, like, you know, closed captioning or something like that, people that may also not be able to hear and also maybe, like, you know, dyslexic or whatever the case may be, might not be able to read captions that easily. And, you know, the sign language interpreter is much easier to understand. So I think that's just, like, it's extremely cool that they put that in this game. Just
super
the accessibility
cool.
features are insane.
This is the kind of shit. When they talk about cloud gaming and things that are in the cloud, this is the kind of shit I would love to see the cloud used for. You know, is that when somebody would like to have, you know, ASL, I'm assuming, I know ASL is American Sign Language, I'm assuming BSL is British, please correct me if I'm wrong. I think it would be awesome if more games had the ability to, you know, I get it. It's a lot of data. They might not be able to fit it all on the disk or in the download or whatever, but if somebody could, like, connect to the cloud and get some of these interpretations, I think that's awesome. And yeah, you brought up the great points about why captions are good in one way, but sign language is even better, for other sorts. There's also, emotion and things that you can convey, that you can convey in sign language that you can't necessarily convey in the written words. If you want to see what I'm talking about, and folks that can hear will absolutely notice this as well, go look at somebody sign languaging a rap concert. These videos go viral once in a while. I'm sure they've got to be all over TikTok. Watch.
I actually want to interject on this one because my uncle is an interpreter and I know a little ASL. Part of actually speaking sign language is facial expression. Mm-hmm. It is an integral part of sign language. You have to cultivate certain emotions for certain things that, you know, facial responses to convey the right terms across. And don't forget, there are also different dialects of ASL. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going into it, but having the face to go with it is absolutely essential to proper communication in ASL.
Yeah. So I don't think anyone looks at this and sees it as a bad thing. I think some people have that curiosity. Well, don't they have closed captioning? But now we've explained it. There's a very big difference between the two, with the emotion and everything. And again, Google somebody signing at a rap concert. Or look it up on TikTok. Maybe, so share one in chat if you got a good one, and you will see exactly what we're talking about. There's a reason those videos go viral all the time. All right, let's move on. I don't know. It's interesting I'm doing this story, not Dark Soccer, but that's okay. We'll talk about Google Stadia. And the reason why
I actually had clicked on that because the moment I saw Stadia, I thought it was mine.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't in your pool, so I took it out of your pool. I should have given it to you as that other one, but that's all right. Anyway, what I wanted to talk about with this is that, well, you can comment to your heart's content, please. It's a collaborative show. Google Stadia did start doing free trials back in October, and they're going to be adding more. And when I say free trials, this means you don't have to have Stadia Pro for this. You can be a free Stadia user, and you can actually get two more games that you can test drive. Control Ultimate Edition, which, of course, that one game of the year things up the wazoo. And then
that is a freebie on Stadia Pro, just saying.
Right, but even if you don't have Stadia Pro, you can still test run it.
Well, no, yeah. I'm just saying the difference is that as opposed to a trial without Stadia Pro, on Stadia Pro, they were giving it away for free.
Nice. And then I believe Hello Engineer is the other one that they're doing. No, Hello Engineer was the first one they did. And then, I'm sorry, the other game is Riders Republic from Ubisoft. So that's pretty neat.
The Resident Evil Village one is still up, too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, last I checked, I can't actually look at my phone, and if I launch Stadia right now, Dead by Daylight will come up.
Right. Well,
but yeah.
So if you're curious about Stadia, you know, and you want to take it for a test drive, you have plenty of ways to do that now with these free, you know, trials and so forth. If you're curious, how does the cloud gaming work? I should say Microsoft's gotten more and more in this, too. You know, one thing I didn't talk about during my gaming week, because I didn't play enough of it, but I started up the Marvel Avengers game in the cloud because, you know, that game is like 100 gig download. I'm like, I don't have the bandwidth for that, but I want to try this. So I started to do that first little area. If you've played the Avengers game, you know what I'm talking about, that first little Avenger, what do they call it, like the celebration.
It was half price on Steam, but still full price on Stadia.
Yeah, so, but on the it's on Game Pass, Microsoft. So you can play it on the cloud through Microsoft Game Pass on your console now. That's the big deal. I'd already done cloud gaming on my PC, but this was me playing the Avengers on my TV, and it wasn't bad at all. Again, it was like watching a YouTube. You see a little bit of, you know, like kind of artifacting and graininess that you would see on a YouTube, but it wasn't terrible by any means. Certainly better than spending the 100 gigs to download it to take it for a test drive. So maybe cloud gaming really is the future. You know, I feel like I'm, you know, integrating it more and more and getting, you know, it's great for taking things for a test spin and so forth. Certainly what Dark Sakura is doing is a great test case for it as well. I think we're going to see the cloud thing more and more, honestly, in the you know, coming years. Another quick little update with Stadia. You can actually jump into friends' games now. So, for example, Far Cry 6 is one of them. You can actually go right into somebody else's current game, but somebody does have to enable their privacy settings for that, of course. You can imagine why. So if you go into your privacy tab of Stadia, and in the current game, there's an option that says join your current game, and if you enable that, then somebody can join your game unannounced, which some people would love, some people would hate. So you can pick that. You can also, of course, set it to friends. And all players. I don't know why you'd do that. I guess if you really want to do something multiplayer, you could. So that's kind of neat. It's also what you would expect on some of the other services like Xbox Live and PlayStation. So it is nice that Stadia's got that now in the cloud section as well. So good for them. All right. Now we're going to get into, forget this cloud gaming stuff. We're going to go back to a simpler time when there was no cloud. It was all on a disc in our next segment.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And once a month, Dark Sakura instead picks a fucking weird arcade game. But I think everyone knows this one. At least I hope they do. And this is an amazing pick. Dark Sakura, what is the flag tonight?
Okay, so it is a game that a lot of people know, but it was really freaking weird when it came out. So it's part of it. Don't get me wrong. So it's The Typing of the Dead, which was funny when I was pulling up the video for it. I hear from the other room, "Are you playing The House of the Dead?" No, but it was funny because Dan just like recognized the music from like the first two bars. Typing of the Dead was an arcade game that was developed by WoW Entertainment, published by Sega for the Naomi hardware. Came out in 1999 in Japan, and then had a port to Sega Dreamcast in 2001 by Smilebit. There was another version for Windows that came out in 2000 and a PS2 port in 2004. So this is a modification of Sega's 1998 light gun game, The House of the Dead 2, where instead of a gun, you have a keyboard. And so you type to kill your enemies, and you know, typing faster is better. You know, you've got to type before the enemy is going to attack you, and it's really, really cool. It was actually considered a form of edutainment when it came out, and a lot of critics actually said, hey, this is great, it's funny, it can be difficult, it's original. The PC version of Typing of the Dead sold 120,000 units in 2003. The PS2 port was called Typing of the Dead Zombie Panic, and it was released in Japan December 2004, and it came with USB keyboard. There was Typing of the Dead 2 that came out in Japan. English of the Dead, which was a revision for House of the Dead 2, was also released to learn as a language learning game in Japan for Nintendo DS. And then there's an iOS remake that was called Flick of the Dead. And then there was, of course, Typing of the Dead Overkill, which was based on House of the Dead Overkill, came out for Windows in October 2013. And we had the distinction of having a text pack. These are special and awesome and educational. Anyway, so it is just House of the Dead 2. It's, you know, rail shooter. You just type shit. You can actually play the Japanese version fairly easily. I don't think it has too many non-English characters in it. But the thing I need to point out, and this is why I'm bringing this one up, is that it is not the only keyboard game that's been out. I mean, we have, there was the one that was the Lupin the Third, the typing.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember seeing that once.
Yeah, which is actually what I almost picked. And it's another Sega game. It was developed by WoW, as well, published for on the Naomi system. So it was based off of Lupin the Third, the shooting that came out the year before that. So there are just all variety of, you know, I think there's another one. There was,
Can I say really quick while you're brainstorming?
Neon
on that?
Ships was, I think, one.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat reminds, and I was going to bring this up, I promise, I was letting Dark Soccer get through the segment, but a reminder that for the Steam version of the game, because again, you should, this game is incredible.
I just talked about.
Check it out. But there's the OLR mod. It's an official Steam mod that I put out. I want to say episode 6.
You did mention that.
Oh,
I talked about.
I'm sorry. I went AFK to the potty and I caught up on chat. Sorry.
It's okay. Well, I didn't say specifically Steam, but I did say it was the Windows version. So.
Gotcha.
But there we go, you know, and of course it's got three different endings based on how you answer the questions that the Emperor asks. You have the explosion ending where you defeat the Emperor, you see Goldman falling off of a building, and then there's an explosion when he hits the ground, and you have to type honest answers to questions during the boss fight, so that's how you get that one. There's the Bungie ending, where if you do untruthful or strange answers during the boss fight, then you get a bungee cord attached to Goldman's leg and he returns to where he came from and burps. And then you have the Superman ending where you have to do untruthful answers only to the questions asked in the boss fight. And instead of Goldman jumping off or falling off, he waves to the narrator and raises his hands and rises into the sky. And that's it. So it got great reviews, like I said. Famitsu gave it 35 out of 40. Everyone thought it was just so absurd that it was hilarious. Game Informer named it the weirdest game of all time. The graphics have, of course, been criticized because, I mean, it wasn't updated from House of the Dead 2. And there's actually even PC World said it was a runner-up on the top 10 worst games list. What the fuck do they know? They don't have sense of the femur.
They're probably holding up the new Steam release but it's a few years old. They're holding that up to, like, new guidelines, and I think they're probably looking at it through the wrong
lens. Rob, this was 2014.
Still.
When it was ranked as one of the worst.
Yeah, so that wasn't that the year that it came out on Steam?
I could be wrong. They said they didn't think the concept was that novel.
Whatever. Then go play something else.
I mean, honestly, the House of the Dead, any of the Typing of the Dead ones, like, they're really fun. I remember going to Jessica's house and us both having our keyboards playing two-player House of the Typing of the Dead. and having the best time. Oh, yeah. Of course, sometimes there was drinking involved. And then we would play drunk, and that was terrible. But yeah, it's probably up there with one of my favorite games, but it is definitely a fucking weird arcade game when it came out.
Absolutely. Great pick. There it is, yeah. Your flag of the month. The Typing of the Dead, or as our DJ Ramaz in chat says, this game looks better than the movie. Well, that's
everything looks better than the movie.
Everything looks better than that movie. So there you go. All right. Great pick. Great trip down memory lane. Great chance to plug the OLR mod that's out there. That honestly should go back and update. I will caution, a lot of the stuff that's in there is old, like it's old references to the show when it was a little more wild and we had more people here every week for the show. Like, you know, they used to have, you know, we'd cram like six people in the studio every week and we had all that. So there's a lot of like old jokes that might not resonate with if you found the show in the past 5 years. But I still think it's neat that we did a mod.
Maybe we should do an updated pack for reasons.
I was going to say we should do an updated one, but I'm like, well, what updated jokes do we have? I need the help of some OLR historians to add stuff in there. I'm happy to do an update though. I think it would be fun. So, and I think Questbuster really sums it up for me in chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork saying, this is one of the reasons I love Sega. They're willing to take risks like this from time to time, even now. So, and agree. That's, I think, what just think of all that crazy shit from the late 90s Sega Dreamcast era. Samba de Amigo, hello. Weird. Space Channel 5, wild. Crazy Taxi, crazy. You know, it's just like, now that stuff, I don't know if it's just because we're in a certain generation of gamers or what, but all that stuff is like the peak of gaming in many ways for many of us, I think. So, She-Hulk10 in chat says, what's FWAG? FWAG stands for fucking weird arcade game. And it's because every month in the...
Of the week.
Of the month, because every... Of the week, yeah. Of the month. But
I just do them all the time, but I'll run out. All weird.
We've been doing a yearly twist since 2017, 2018, where Dark Sakura mixes it up, and once a month she does something different. So there's 1 year she did classic consoles. I think soundtracks was 1 year. There was one other one, I think. Peripherals was last year, if I remember right. So
I did pinballs.
Yeah, this I don't think you did pinballs yet. Maybe that's next year.
I have done pinball.
Did you?
Yes.
Wow, okay, time flies.
Because I had to, I gave myself a limit that there were anything that was at the beginning of using the DMD system for scoring.
Wow, yeah, you're right. Okay, so then this, now we're at the...
This is me.
I know, but it's just like, it all blurs together. And also, to be fair, you talk about pinball a lot, okay? It doesn't need its own segment. but I love pinball, it's fine. Who doesn't love pinball? So this year, the twist was the fucking weird arcade game where Dark Sakura would pick a game that was really crazy in arcades. And, I would urge you all to go to the wiki, which is orangeloungeradio.fandom.com now, I think. It used to be Wikia, but some company bought the other. So, SJ100 Matt says there's only one more flag left. That's right. December is the only month left. So Dark Sakura will go out with a bang. And then... got to think of next year's one. I know some ideas have come up, but we'll let Dark Sakura pick what she wants to do as we move into 2022 and the 20th year of the show. In my
Maybe
opinion,
I'll do worst arcade insane. Game.
What's that?
I'll do worst game of the month.
Worst game of the month? You've picked some stinkers, but I mean, you can do more stinkers. There's
Of something.
There's a lot
Maybe
of shitty
cat
games
game
out
of the
there.
Month.
All right. Thank you, Orange Wright, who sends a link. And so you can see all the previous classic games and the different themes and all that stuff. So there you go. All right.
Halo. Okay, Bobby. Bobby says finally Halo gets in legit with the worst game of the month. I'm going to say, remember, I did Halo for a lot of money for my mother.
And it was legit.
If I do another Halo game... I don't even know. Maybe something will happen. Maybe one of the prizes for like a subathon or something will be I do Halo 2.
It's got to be a subathon here, though. VOG Network.
Well, I didn't say
VOG
I wouldn't do
money.
It for myself. I do it here.
Okay. All right.
Who do you think I am? Of course I would do it on my own.
Capitalist.
You're kidding.
All right. Moving on. Let's get into some rapid fire news and talk about some things going on in the industry rather quickly. And we will go to, I think, Loki first.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been a big fan of Lego stuff. And we were buying most of the Mario sets. We've kind of stopped because we got too many of them, and my son doesn't want to build the ones I buy for him. So
there's a lot of them.
There is a lot. So you, as you may remember, Lego Luigi is a thing now. He was introduced back in August, I believe. And now they've got some more Luigi-centric sets, including the brand new Luigi's Mansion sets that are coming out. So there's actually one... there's a brand new like entryway expansion set that they've got for like $40. It looks kind of cool with some of the ghosts from the game. There is a the Lab and Poltergust expansion set, which gives you the actual Poltergust suit that Luigi can wear, and has also Professor Egad in there. And then they have a more elaborate set, which is the Haunt and Seek expansion set, which is $80, and that's got like a bunch of stuff from like a haunted house in there, including King Boo. But pretty elaborate stuff. Probably won't be buying that though, but neat. I like to see more Mario sets.
And then yeah, obviously that partnership's doing very well for both those companies.
Oh yes, yes, yeah. Yes. And then also, of course, we've got an update to Super Mario 3D All-Stars. You may remember that was a game that was released back in September of last year. And then they discontinued in March when they decided to roll out their expansion pass for their Nintendo Online.
No. But it's a limited celebration. It's a celebration.
It's a limited celebration. My mistake.
Eventually, the celebration has to end.
That was driving that.
Eventually, the lights have to go out. Eventually, the hors d'oeuvres spoil.
So here's... Okay, so to that, this is going to be the most unnecessary expansion ever, but or update ever. So... Super Mario 3D All-Stars is adding Nintendo 64 controller support. But you may remember that the Nintendo 64 controller, aside from being impossible to get right now because it's Nintendo and they don't know how to, you know, manage a supply chain, you could only purchase that if you had the expansion pass through Nintendo Online, which you would have already gotten Super Mario 64. But hey, if you want to play it again on a copy you already bought... now they're letting you do that. How generous of them. Oh no, it's stupid. It's so stupid.
It's weird to see that get a patch, but,
I mean, it's nice that they're supporting it, but like it's the hoops you got to jump through to be able to do that is just stupid.
It's nice, but I don't care. Like that sums me up, I guess. All right. Dar Sakura, you've got one for us.
I do. It looks like that filming for The Last of Us is actually done. Neil Druckmann posted, and I'll read this verbatim, "Alas, my time in Canada has come to an end. To the best TV crew in the world, thank you for your incredible work, your passion, and for making me feel so welcome. I will miss you terribly. Excited to return to Naughty Dog and some warmer weather." And... yeah, he put a picture of a clapboard with The Last of Us on it, and it's the same font but red with like a design on it, and yeah, it might be done filming completely, so we'll see.
Now to edit it and get all the special effects done, so it's still probably going to be a little while, but I think the bar is pretty high for that, but it looks like it's got a good cast, so be very curious to see how that turns out. For sure.
Totally.
Speaking of media, I've got a story for you guys. And this trailer I know showed up in our Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord because, you know, who doesn't love Neil Patrick Harris? And that's why everybody's sharing this movie, right? Well, I'm sure that's part of it. But the other part is it plays into Nintendo hardcore. So it's a movie coming to HBO Max called 8-Bit Christmas. And it's talking about it. Look, I'm going to be honest. I watched the trailer. And to me, it's just completely trying to rip off A Christmas Story and like get that same sort of vibe. But instead of a BB gun, it's a Nintendo. What this has to do with video games, I'm not exactly sure, but I guess we can expect to see Nintendo stuff featured in the movie. And of course, it's just tugging at our heartstrings because a lot of us look at that and go, oh, that was me going to my friend's house trying to play the Nintendo and all that stuff.
You know, this would have been a perfect time for them to do some sort of partnership deal to re-release the NES Classic Edition, wouldn't you think?
That's how a smart business person thinks.
That's how a smart business person. But this is Nintendo, and they won't do that.
Anyway, the trailer's all over. I'm sure many of you guys have seen it by now. It's on HBO Max. It has Neil Patrick Harris. I will wait to see what my friends think of it. I'm not exactly in a rush to watch it, but it's not because completely that I'm a bitch. It's just that I don't, you know, I watch a lot more Twitch, and I play a lot more video games, and I really have to be intentional if I'm going to break to watch a movie or something like that. Tiger Claw does point out that it's based on a book. Mike Def says it's nostalgia bait, but I'll watch because of Neil Patrick Harris. And that's where I'm kind of like not going to write it off completely. I do love that man. So, yeah. And by the way, did y'all see his Halloween? Like every year that family goes all out for Halloween, and it's amazing. It's also those kids are growing up. Those kids are like 10 or 11 now. So they do amazing
it's
stuff
also
for Halloween.
In the new Matrix movie.
That's right. Yeah, that Matrix movie has a hell of a cast. That is a movie I will set aside the time to watch, guaranteed.
Uh-huh.
I will borrow a friend's HBO Max. Actually, I might go to the fucking theater to see it, quite honestly.
I'll see it in
the
theater.
Just to see it in the theater. Anyway, Tiger Claw says it's based on the book. Yes, there is a book on it, and so it comes from that. So was A Christmas Story, which is the original nostalgia porn, I think, that ties into this. All right. Let's move on. Travel around the world and check out some releases. Actually, no, I lied. I'm going to insert a story here in Rapid Fire News because we had a really good one shared by Bobby in chat, and I think this is worth sharing. I should save this for last minute stories, but I'm not going to because this is kind of huge. Metal Gear Solid 2, Metal Gear Solid 3 going to be removed from PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, Nintendo 3DS, and so on in those stores. They're saying it's temporary. Apparently, there is historical archive footage that appears in the game. The licenses have expired. Konami is therefore legally obligated to yank the game until they can either fix it and remove that footage, which I doubt they're going to use the resources to do, or they're going to, I guess, try to reinstate the licenses. They are saying in this press release on their official site, Konami.com, "We sincerely ask for your patience and understanding as we work towards making these products available for purchase once again." So they are going to try to get them back up again. There's a lot of this affects the GOG version of Metal Gear Solid 2. Many PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Vita. I mean, those storefronts are already kind of on their way out as it is. PlayStation Now. And when I see that, that's the big one. They have to yank it off the cloud. Something to think about with these licenses and expiring and the cloud gaming we're moving to. Just that's the one that catches my eye, as the PlayStation Now version of the game is going to disappear. So anyway, and that involves for PlayStation Now and PlayStation Vita and PlayStation 3, that's the HD collection. They have to throw out the whole collection for now because, of course, it includes number 2 and number 3. So interesting. Garth the Wolf in chat says, "Konami looking sus." Well, it is legal obligations. It's just, what good news is coming out of Konami lately? I'll wait. Oh, the new Beatmania 2DX. I really want to play that. That's, I guess, there's your good news for Konami. The rest? Well, we have a story on eFootball coming up later, and I will just let that speak for itself. Anyhow. All right. Oh, yeah. Dark Tetsuya says, "Remember Dynamite Rave literally had to be rewritten about 2009 or so?" Yeah, they are not good with licensing sometimes.
Yes.
How about the Silent Hill remaster? Enough said.
I don't like the remake.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Sacred Jade. I will. Okay, yes. Yes, I will golf clap that response. Castlevania Collection. That is some good news that came out of Konami. I do want to point out they did contract with that other company to make the game for them. However, point taken, point acknowledged, golf clap earned. Thank you. All right. All right. Orange Wright is now putting out the TurboGrafx-16 Mini. I will give you one clap because that was last year. All right. Enough. Moving on. You all know the point I'm trying to make. It's a hot mess over there. All right, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates and things that are coming out from Konami or otherwise in the coming week. And we'll go to the U.S. and Loki.
Yes. So we have Blue Reflection Second Light on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. Football Manager 2022 on PC, Mac, Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, iOS, and Android. Forza Horizon 5 on PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. We have Jurassic World Evolution 2 on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. The Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim Anniversary Edition. That's right, Todd Howard is doing it again, and he's going to make you buy Skyrim again, even though they already did a remastered Anniversary Edition before. That's coming out this week on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. The Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, the definitive edition. Sure enough, it is definitive until they release another one. That's also coming out on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series.
If they do another one, would it be redefinitive?
It's a serious question.
It's no.
Grand Theft Auto. Rockstar Games doesn't want to make a new game. PUBG, The New State on iOS and Android. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic on Nintendo Switch. And finally, we've got Shin Megami Tensei 5 on Nintendo Switch. That's it.
All right, going to Japan and checking out the releases over there. You bet Shin Megami Tensei 5 is a huge release this week on the Nintendo Switch. It has a regular edition, a limited edition. There's even some peripherals that are coming out that are Shin Megami Tensei branded, of course, because that game is huge. So you can check all that out on the 11th when the game launches there. There are some other titles on the Nintendo Switch as well. What would dare go up against Shin Megami Tensei? How about Laid Back Camp, Have a Nice Day? That is out this week. Dragon Quest X, Heroes of the Heavenly Stars Online. I'm not sure. That must be some type of re-release. I don't know if that's the first time on the Switch or what it is, but that is out as well in Japan this week. And Megaton Musashi is out this week as well in Japan. And Labyrinth of Galleria Coven of Dusk is all out this week on the Nintendo Switch. Looking at the PlayStation 4, I imagine you have some of the similar stuff. Yep, we have Megaton Musashi is also out this week in the Dragon Quest game. Also on PlayStation 4. Let me check PS5 and see if any of those games made it over there this week. No, the next release is a Battlefield 2042 Japan's release, on the 19th. So we're still a little ways from that. Let's go to the UK and Dark Sakura. I think you have a mute. Yes, you have a Discord mute.
On the 9th, we have Forza Horizon 5 on Xbox. For Xbox and PlayStation, Jurassic World Evolution 2 on the same day. The rest of these are on the 12th. We have Human Fall Flat Anniversary Edition. We have Game & Watch, The Legend of Zelda. Nice. We have Shin Megami Tensei V. 5? I did the thing. I hate that I did the thing, and I did the thing. Shin Megami Tensei 5. And then Let's Sing 2022.
I did the thing, Rob.
How very dare I do the thing?
I know. I'm gonna clip that. All right. No, just kidding.
No, do not.
All right. Let's move on and get some more headlines. And then, of course, we'll take your calls and your emails and all that good stuff and really make it your show a little later on with the listener roundtable. But for now, we have some more headlines to talk about, starting with Loki.
Yeah, so this is a story. Nintendo has promised to continually to improve the Nintendo Switch Online since there's been some backlash, basically saying in their their investor meeting, I believe, that the last month we released Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack, a new membership plan that adds content to the existing service. Going forward, we will continue to improve and expand on both Nintendo Switch Online and Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack, striving to provide services that satisfy customers. Yeah, I better hope you better be continually improving that service. I mean, that's the point of a service that you're charging $50 for. Sony or Microsoft doesn't just charge it and go, okay, we're done. when we're done putting out content.
Well, I also took it about the split that they have, and now they have two levels, and everybody's thinking, well, this basic level is going to be trash now because they want people to pay more for the premium level. So I kind of read it as Nintendo kind of recommitting to both levels.
And we'll just see. To confirm, like, I, even though I didn't pay for the expansion pack.
Me neither.
I did pay for the DLC, though, for Animal Crossing, but I'm not paying for the expansion pack. Okay. So they miss out on the $5 there, but it's stupid. Like, it's just a principle thing for me. Like, no, thank you. Like, I'm not giving you more money, especially when you haven't proved with the current expansion pass stuff that you're willing to continually update it. I mean, it's just minimal effort being put in by them.
Yep.
So sorry, you can promise all you want, but you haven't shown that you're going to do it.
Yep. I mean, I understand they have to. Playing Yakuza games has taught me that the board meetings are very important, and you have to please the board of directors. But I get it with these shareholder meetings. You have to talk a lot of talk. But for us, the gamers, we got to see the action. We got to see the stuff that really makes it worth it. So we'll see. I'm curious what big free thing Nintendo's going to try to throw at the expansion.
Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games. That's what they're going to do. That's the easiest, like, come on.
There needs to be something more. Like, yes, sure, I like agree. Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games, but I think there needs to be something. Here's the problem. If Game Boy and Game Boy Advance does not include Pokemon, forget it. And that's the thing. Everybody hears Game Boy and Game Boy Advance, and they think, oh, well, I want to play the Pokemon games. You better level set those expectations. Because technically, those games are from the Pokemon company, which is a second party. Nintendo can, as they're doing with the fourth gen, just remake those games and charge a whole separate premium for them, and people will pay it. So don't assume Pokemon games are going to be a part of that. So what's left? There's the original Metroid 2. There's some other, not to say, obviously there are some good, but I just think the highlights are not going to be what you all want them to be. That's my thought. So, all right. Moving on, and on a similar note with Nintendo, and I think we kind of addressed this on a previous show, but it's kind of continue. I want to say this got brought up again this week because of that same shareholder meeting. Nikkei Asia is talking about that Nintendo is going to make 20% fewer Switch consoles through the end of the fiscal year, and this all ties into the chip shortage that's going on. That means 24 million fewer units than what was planned. That's basically the headline. I mean, yes, there's still a lot of games when you consider Metroid Dread, the new old Mario Party that came out, and the other things that are on the horizon for next year. Or Animal Crossing 2.0, if you will, next year, Splatoon 3, Bayonetta 3. But the reality is the chip shortage is just playing into how many Switches they can make. And if that doesn't scream the answer to what happened to the 4K Switch, and we said that then. It's probably because of the chip shortage. And Nintendo hardware is already hard enough to come by. Now put this on top of it. It's going to be a nightmare. So when you consider all that, I am glad Nintendo put off the 4K Switch, to be quite honest. Like, because I do not want to have to Squid Game to win a 4K Switch. So do that when the chip shortage is looking a little better. Speaking of whatever's in the future for Nintendo... in that interesting meeting, they did confirm there's another Nintendo console in the works for release 20XX. Great. So we get a new Nintendo console coming out before 2099.
A Mega Man console.
It's interesting that a lot of websites are running that as a headline because no fucking shit, Nintendo's working on a new console. Guess what? I feel like I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. PlayStation's working on PlayStation 6. What? But it's so early. These things take years to come up with. Years of development, trial and error, cost analysis, parts. Now that we're seeing launch games, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, yes, of course, they're working on a successor to the Switch. I think the real question is, has the 4K Switch been scrapped altogether for a future, is the future Nintendo console now a 4K Switch? Because that's, I think that's where it ends up. But we'll see. Anyhow, on a completely different note, Darksakura.
Well, we often call politics a game, right? Some of us do. Because it really can just go back and forth and one tries to win versus the other. There's actually a Kickstarter now to make a game and to teach about politics and the nature of how it works. It's called Political Arena, created by Elliot Nelson, who is a journalist who wrote for Huffington Post until 2018. So you legislate, and this is actually the quote, you can legislate, you can campaign, you can navigate the media, you can weather scandals, you can try and pick apart the myriad interests on K Street and other special interests. So you customize your politician and then decide how to invest their time. And then you can see how weak or strong they are in certain skills, and then the game plays out from there. So if you are a fan of, you know, following politicians or kind of want to see a little bit about, you know, what all you'd have to juggle for it, you could sign up for the Kickstarter. It looks kind of interesting. Like, one of the screenshots on here is like, Senator Olin misspells butter. Which, how many times have we seen people drug for their grammar?
Oh, sure.
Usually what? By me.
How many of us are old enough to remember the whole potato shenanigans with Vice President Quayle at the time? That was it's very much a reference to that. Yeah,
we had way too many of them with the dumpster that we just got used to it.
Yeah. What's interesting about this to me, you know, political games are nothing new. I mean, hello, we had that guy who made Cat President, like the actual, that's a political game of sorts, a little tongue-in-cheek. But I even remember playing a game on, like, the Commodore 64 in the 80s that was, like, a campaign manager game. But it's not that the political game element is new, but it's the talent behind this, and that there is, you know, people that might bring some sort of, you know, I don't know if you want to call it insider, but sort of, like, just more like weathered, I guess, experiences into a game. I think that's interesting.
Well, the producer, Diana Williams, she's a former exec at Lucasfilm, said that she wants it to be fun to play, but also to be educational. Mm-hmm. And she, one of her quotes is, while having fun, they're able to say, hey, I didn't know this about XYZ, then we have also done our job. She's kind of, you know, wanting this to show a lot more of an honest view of how politics work. I mean, it's very much just like old courtly drama, you know, where this person moves against this person and this person with power moves this way and you make these alliances and you do this thing, except of course, very modern. You know, she says she wants it to give more information than Schoolhouse Rock.
It's chess on a different board.
It is.
Yeah.
It's really, the only thing that I can really liken the world of politics to, excuse me, my nose is itching.
Is a dumpster on fire in the ocean.
No. It's like when you watch, I was trying to think, kind of like watching Game of Thrones, I think, when you're watching how the families sort of move against each other and interact and how you sway opinion to get alliances with one or the other. I mean, in this case, if you're trying to sway someone's opinion, you go to a charity dinner. You donate to so-and-so's cause, even if you don't believe in it, you want so-and-so to be on your side because you want them to think that you think the same way they do. It goes also into the less savory side of politics. By, like, you can do attack ads, you can do, you know, social media manipulation, you can, I mean, they've even got people, who worked, in campaigns working on this game. It's absolutely, you know, going to be completely, I think, a candid and honest look at it, but still supposed to be something that you're supposed to have fun with.
All I have to say about the wide world of politics is, remember my ex, the politician? That is,
I try not to.
That is all I'm going to say about that. That was a very eye-opening experience. Thankfully, he, even though apparently he got a lot of votes, he did not end up holding public office. And last I heard, still hasn't, although honestly I haven't heard a lot in a long time, but the world's a better place for it. Sorry to be shady, but also not sorry.
I'm not sorry.
I'm not either. I'm just supposed to be nice on the show.
And I say this as a weird person. He's such a weird guy.
Yeah. Well, that's...
You know, I embrace my weird, and he was completely strange to me.
That's what happens when you... you know what? I'm not going to get into it. I am a better person. All right, let's move on. Speaking of... Loki, why don't you be a better person with this next story?
I don't know if I could be the better person, but so Konami has decided to delay eFootball 2022 version 1 to next year, probably because there's a lot of updates and fixes they're going to have to do to even get to version 1, and so that's just an inevitability of them. But yes, they have pushed it back to spring of 2022. I just say don't even bother at this point. It's just, it's trash. But yeah, they're pushing it back, even though they already released it and stuff. So yeah, and along with that, they are. You may remember because we had brought it up in a story. They were so bold to pre-order the premium player pack, which was paid DLC for that freemium game. And yeah, they're refunding that for folks because, you know, their game is jank and broken. So
I apologize for the awkward silence, but I literally have nothing. Congratulations, Konami. You've managed to successfully pee and poo the bed. Like I don't know what to say. What do you say to some company that is such a colossal fucking mess? Like, what do you say? What do you say when you walk in the room and just, it's just, it's not even a room. Like you've literally done that Silent Hill thing where you go through the hole and like it used to be a room, but now it's murder. Like I don't, what do you say? There's nothing.
And they had, like, the last thing that they had that was good was, like, Pro Evo Soccer. And then they're like, hey, wait, hold on. There's still an opportunity for us to screw this up. And you know what? It took some gusto, but they managed to pull that mess up in 2021. They did it. So, congrats, Konami.
Dark Tetsuya chat says, it's that meme from Community. He walks in with a pizza and everything's on fire. At least that guy had pizza.
That's a fair point.
is there a playable game here? Nope. At least that guy had pizza. SG100 Matt says, just play that Bob Saget clip from Dumb and Dumber. There's shit everywhere. How about the Bob Saget directed movie Dirty Work starring the late Norm Macdonald? Rest in peace. Where everybody, you have to know this scene where the guys do
in all of these.
Look, there's a dead hooker in that trunk over there. Oh my gosh, another dead hooker. Like it's like really a tasteless scene and everything, but it's really funny if you have a dirty mind. And it's that is a little more appropriate to what Konami is going through right now. Like I don't know what to say. Mike Defton chat says, PT was foreshadowing of Konami's state. Now I know why Konami shut it down. Now, Bobby Blackwolf points out their gambling side isn't a mess. It makes money. Well, you know what's interesting? And maybe this goes back to the old division of Konami, the arcade publisher, and K-Set, what used to be that, Konami, you know, Computer Entertainment. I guess technically still is, except they closed all the U.S. offices. I don't even know how to sort that mess anymore. My point is, arcade, hardware, gambling machines... things like that, pachinko, those are all fine. It's the software division that's a fucking nightmare. Now, yes, y'all brought up the Castlevania thing, but again, I said that kind of wasn't Konami. It actually wasn't Konami. It was their games. It was their old shit. but somebody did it for them. And honestly, after hearing about this football game, I think we should all be thankful someone else did it for them, because believe me, Konami would have found a way to pee and poo that Castlevania collection if they'd done it themselves. Tiger Claw in chat says, I still can't get over the fact two of the channels here are named after the company that used to make arcade games. I think they were talking about something else, with Bally Sports and all that stuff. It is funny that the name of our show comes from a Konami namesake, but it is quite literally the Konami of a different era, literally. And we'll always keep DDR near and dear in our hearts. And like I said, honestly, arcade division's fine. Like, new DDR mixes, cool. New 2DXs, yeah, you know, all that stuff, that's fine. I don't got no complaints about that, except I just got old. I'm a Bomani boomer now, as we talked about on a previous episode of OLR. But that's all cool. I don't got a problem with that. Anyway, one more story for you guys, and Loki kind of referenced this already. Thanks, Loki. No, but I understand. It's in the release dates. But, hey, look, Skyrim is coming out once again. It is the anniversary edition, and it's kind of all over the place. Okay, so here's the deal. God damn it, the story won't open because it thinks I'm using an ad blocker on this site. There are different price levels for this game that's coming out. There's going to be $49.99 edition, and I think that's the new one, or it's going to be $19.99 if you want to just upgrade, I guess, your existing edition. But then I also heard one of them is coming out on Game Pass somehow, because Skyrim's there, but it's like not the newest one, even though Microsoft owns Bethesda now. Like, this newest one is not coming out right away or something. I don't know. It seems like a disaster. Of different pricing. It's confused. I shouldn't say disaster, because, you know, Skyrim is a good game, but it's confusing. All these different tiers, and it's confusing why Skyrim is getting released again. But it's, you know, the 10-year collection, and I get it from the perspective of, okay, they have to make it even better for the Xbox Series and for PlayStation 5, but it's like, okay, they already kind of redid it for Xbox One X, and you can play that version on Game Pass, and it looks fine. It looks great. It looks better than fine. So I guess what? Now you get ray tracing and extra sparkles and things like that. Cool. But I don't know if it's really necessary to drop money to get this game all over again. But I guess Bethesda's hoping many of you will think differently. Anything you want to add to that, Loki? Because I know you're a Skyrim fan.
It's a lot of it is just these... They keep trying to push that, the Creator Club stuff, really. And so there's like a lot of pieces from that, but it's all mods. But some of it's kind of cool. I mean, they've got like fishing and stuff in there now, and different armor sets. Like, if you're a fan of the other Elder Scrolls games, there's armor sets from those.
Is it $19.99 cool? Because that's the cost to upgrade.
Probably. I mean, there's a lot of content in there. I just don't know. I'll just wait for it to go on sale. They're at the very least, they're giving you some stuff for free, though. So even if you don't upgrade and you already have the special edition, which probably most of you did because they also updated that for free, then you get, like, there's three big pieces of DLC kind of there being thrown in there. So
I'll wait. It'll hit Game Pass eventually. It will hit Game Pass eventually. It has to. I'll wait for that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to hit Game Pass eventually. And Steam sales, I mean, that stuff's always dirt cheap. So just wait.
All right. But don't wait for this segment. It's the Listener Roundtable, where we're going to take your calls. If you'd like to call us over at vognetwork.com/discord, just hop into the green room, and we might take a call or two. But we also want to take a look inside our mailbag, which is at participate@orangelawntrader.com. Something that was brought to my attention, though, by a listener in our Discord today over at vognetwork.com/discord, because, you know, we chat with you all throughout the week, is that somebody tried to send an email through the website and it didn't work. I have to confess, the website is old and it's broken. And the only reason it exists right now is because it powers this show and the feed that is still on iTunes. And I am scared as hell to change some of that, because obviously I don't want to lose the podcast feed that we have. And, you know, cause we have like, we're probably the, is there an older show on iTunes? We've been on iTunes since day one. I don't know if there's any other current running show that was there on day one. Like, I'm not trying to toot our horn too much, toot toot, but like there's certain types.
Yeah, Guinness.
There's certain types of prestige you don't want to lose, and that's one of them. So my point is the website has been updated in like 15 years. And hey,
we could update the website, just don't touch the feed links.
And that might be the ultimate solution. And you know, Jason and I talked about it a long time ago. We just never got around to it. And I do want to be clear. Somebody was very kind, a listener named Deekman, and I'm not even sure if he still listens to the show. Somebody was very kind in doing that website for us 15 years ago and did it out of the goodness of his heart. And I just want to say thank you. I can never thank you enough for that. I can't thank Jason enough for the multiple
Deekman's
favors.
Still around. Facebook.
I see him on Facebook.
There.
Yeah, the social media and all that stuff. I still see, but I don't. You know, people come and go from the show. I appreciate both those guys immensely. But the reality is, he did it 15 years ago. A lot's changed. So yes, a new website is something that we really should work on. So anyway, my point is, if you try to send an email through the website, don't. Just use your email client. participate@orangeloungeradio.com. However, I can see why people would think that. Why not just go to the website, click email? So I have to figure out how to update that to give a heads up or something like that.
It should just be a mail to link.
Bobby Blackwolf says Gamertag Radio was there day one. Respectfully. And of course, I realize they also have been running a very long time. They've done more episodes. I have nothing but respect for Danny and the work that he does. I thought he came out after iTunes launched, because that was what inspired him to go the direction from what he was doing, like a Fantasy Star thing before. I could be wrong, and if I am, I am sorry. But and I'm sure there are also non video game podcasts that have been there since day one. Not many, that's for sure. So, all right. Anyway, I don't think it was very long after. Some of the day one podcasts. There was the one with the dudes in Cleveland, but they kind of faded, although they like will do one show a year or something like that. And again, please do not hear any of this as disrespect, because it takes a lot of work to do a show for 1 year, and I have nothing but respect for the folks that do that. But at the same time, we've been doing this for 19 years, and we're going to kind of toot that a little bit. We're very proud of it. You know, it's taken a lot of dedication to go that long. So toot toot. Bobby says, I showed up a month after iTunes. I was month one, but not day one. That still puts you in the old folks' home, Bobby, as far as I'm concerned. So it will be interesting to see what happens should we ever decide to call it quits, who's still going at that time. And I don't know. I'm very confident we are the longest running podcast about video games or internet show, especially when you combine all that together. I don't know who's second place. Y'all can fight about that. I don't know. All right. Anyway, let's move on. I was going to get to the mailbag. Participate at orangelaungeradio.com. Yes.
There is one.
Yay.
I don't have a nickname on it, so I'm just going to say Ronnie. With Microsoft announcing their avatars and virtual universe for Teams, do you think PlayStation Home was ahead of its time? If Sony had stuck it out to this point, do you think there would have been opportunities for them to utilize the service professionally during COVID? Also, do you think AR tech missed a huge opportunity to advance during COVID? I've been listening since Life 365 days. Wow.
Wow.
This is my first time in mailbag.
Wow.
Well, hi, Ronnie.
Well, hi. We love a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Heck, that is
a long time. The Live 365 days? That predates iTunes, I think.
It absolutely does, because that's started.
I know, but I'm trying to think. Remember there was about a year that we were doing a podcast and a live show, and then we combined
them.
We had
the to-go edition.
I think we were still on Live 365 at that time.
But is this then when we were doing To Go, or was it when we were just doing Orange Lounge Radio in its earlier iteration?
Probably both. But anyway, because all games didn't happen. There was only one show when all games happened. There was no more To Go edition. So it had to be. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the questions.
Anyway, yes. So, yes, going back to the question about, oh, yes, was PlayStation Home ahead of its time? Yes and no. I think there were features of Home that were underutilized and undersold, and then instead we got promises that never came to real fruition. Such as like that virtual display case of the various achievements that you got. You could get a shirt here and there in PlayStation Home, but they never really pushed that forward in the way that I think people really wanted to see. But I think I think a lot of people would be into PlayStation Home, that type of thing, if it existed now. And I, you know, there's always been those rumors about, you know, oh, they're going to do PlayStation's going to do their knockoff of VR chat, and it's going to be PlayStation Home and PlayStation VR. I think that's nice. I don't know if that would actually happen or not. My other big bitch about PlayStation Home was that they should have let us have more control over the clubhouses, but I think they were really paranoid about copyright theft and things like that. But we could have done so much more with that OLR clubhouse, so we've been giving it a little more freedom. But there were elements of it that were ahead of its time, yes. And I think it would be a very interesting player if it was still around today. Absolutely. So, thank you, Bobby, with the timeline. You came to All Games in early 2006. iTunes was June of 2005. There was like a year period in there where everything happened very fast. And there was a lot that happened really fast. There was the launch of To Go. There was the launch of iTunes, which then shot up our listenership like crazy as far as podcasting goes. There was then Live 365 upped all the rates. So then we moved to All Games. But before that was the syndication on All Games. There was like a 3 or 4 month period where like they were playing our show, but it was just a rerun, kind of like DDR Freak Radio was doing back then. So there was a lot that happened in like a year, 18 month period very quickly, that this all kind of falls into. Anyway, thanks for the walk down memory lane, and thank you for the email. Questbuster says the Japanese PlayStation Home was really nice versus the one in the States. They gave away so much free stuff. Yeah, I think you get out what you put into it, and I think if Sony had put a little more into PlayStation Home, they would have really seen the rewards. That year that they did the virtual E3 in PlayStation Home was actually kind of interesting and kind of neat. And it's a real, I bet very few people actually experienced that because there was just a lot of like LOL PlayStation Home. Remember we used to have that listener, definitely a former listener. I think unfortunately he rage quit. We said something he didn't agree with or something, and it happens. He was like super into PlayStation Home and would call into the show and talk about like all these things that PlayStation Home was doing. And we humored the guy and went to his PlayStation Home clubhouse. And we were actually kind of like, wow, you really can do a lot of cool shit in this game. Like he had a really cool little thing laid out and everything. And yeah, there was a lot you could do at PlayStation Home that just I don't think really broke through into the masses, like how to really explain that, you know, and I think that's a big part of it as well. It's interesting, though, if I remember the email right, kind of brought up Microsoft Teams and maybe Microsoft entering this space. I mean, it would be interesting, but since they're bringing it up in Teams, I think a lot of that has to do with the pandemic. And maybe when we talk about PlayStation Home, we talk about what could that have looked like if that was around when the pandemic started. That could have been a very interesting sort of thing. But I feel like Microsoft's responses is nothing to do with gaming and which see in Teams, but more a response to the pandemic and the reality of the hybrid office model, if not completely work from home model, that many people are going to in the future. There's just it's instead of you work in the office or you work at home, there's going to be a lot of people in a middle category very soon, a hybrid model. And I think this like Microsoft Teams changes they're made is in response to that. What it can do for gaming, I don't know. ZenMonkey11 in chat says Microsoft is already doing it. It's called AltSpace VR. I forgot about that, ZenMonkey, until you mentioned it. So Microsoft isn't really pushing it. And so it's really about, you know, if Microsoft wants something like that to be for gaming, they're going to really have to put that oomph behind it that makes gamers want to check it out. Unfortunately, a lot of experimental Microsoft products that really should have stuck around also go away. So this isn't something unique to Sony. So let's have our weekly complaint. Where's One versus 100? That was awesome. Where's Microsoft Game Room? As far as selling me an emulator goes, that was probably one of the best they ever did. Was Microsoft Game Room. Like, So Microsoft isn't unique to walking away from these things that should have been better fully realized. But alas, that is the game industry we live in sometimes. And alas, that was the only email we got. But thank you, longtime listener, first-time caller, Ronnie, for the email. Participate at orangelaunchradio.com if you want to send us an email for a future week and not the website. I don't see anybody in the green room. I'll give it just another moment. If you have any questions for us, you can shout them out in our Twitch chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork. In the meantime, I want to check in with Loki and see if there's any last-minute stories.
The only thing I had is that apparently it looks like Fail Overflow, the famous cracking and hacking group, has shown that they can decrypt the PlayStation 5 firmware files.
Oh, interesting.
So,
what does that ultimately mean? Does that mean they're going to try to do a homebrew injection on PlayStation 5? Or is that like, that's not emulation. That's like homebrew trying to run that stuff on PS5, right?
Yeah, and they also, there's another screenshot from a PlayStation actually showing debug settings enabled on the PlayStation 5 as well. So,
all right.
We'll have to wait and see what happens.
All right. Well, I still do not see anyone in the green room, so I don't think we're getting any calls tonight, and that is okay. And then I don't really see any direct questions, so I think we kind of burned through all the news. We had some good stuff. Garth the Wolf in chat brings up the Endwalker delay, which I guess I didn't really address during the show. I thought I would get to it during my game week. But Garth the Wolf says, Endwalker delay is a relief because now I will actually have time to complete my first relic weapon in Bozja. I don't even know if I'll get around to that, but I will get all my jobs to 80. I might hit 80 tonight on my last job after the show. We'll see how long I have and if I have help. They delayed Endwalker by 2 weeks. It was supposed to come out in early access, I think November 23rd, and now it's pushed back to December 3rd. And there was a big live letter that they did on Friday, and they were talking about this and a lot of the other changes to the game. And Yoshi P, the producer director of Final Fantasy XIV, looked so upset. He looked like he was going to cry. I wanted to hug him because it's not a big deal. It's 2 weeks, whatever. Do you really? You guys have to remember, Yoshi P is not only working on Final Fantasy XIV, the greatest turnaround in video game history. I would put it above Diablo III. I really would. Final Fantasy XIV is the greatest turnaround in gaming history. Yoshi P is to credit for that and his hardworking team, but there is a leader of that team and it's Yoshi P. In addition to Final Fantasy XIV, he is also working on Final Fantasy XVI. That man is fucking busy. And to see him literally pour his heart out for all of us because QA issues and wanting to make sure the game isn't fucked when it releases caused a 2-week delay. Like, I wanted to hug him. I felt so bad. But you know, and most people were understanding. I'd say probably 90%, even higher, were understanding. But of course, there's going to be those people that are like, I took the day off work and I'm very upset because I can't get my PTO rearranged. You guys are very upset. To do this at the last minute is so rude. Hey, put your clown dress on tonight because you're the one that took time off for an MMO. And MMO launches are almost always borked. And I'm not saying this to everyone who took time off for an MMO because some people are saying, oh, that sucks. Guess I'll do something else. That is the correct response. But for the people that decide to tweet Yoshi P when he's literally crying on camera because he has to delay his game, what about me? Shut the fuck up. All right. Mike Deft in chat says, Yoshi P is a godsend and I don't even play Final Fantasy XIV. Garth the Wolf in chat says, Yoshi P cried while apologizing. He shouldn't have to feel that way. He's amazing and works so hard. How many times has Yoshi P put his heart on his fucking sleeve this year when we don't deserve it? Remember that whole thing at a fan fest when he was talking about Soken and everything that Soken was going through medically? And like, gaming does not deserve Yoshi P. And if you hurt that man's feelings, I will beat you up.
He's a perfect cinnamon roll.
I need to say for the purposes of Twitch rules and things, metaphorically, I will beat you up. I don't mean that literally. Okay, for the purposes of Twitch things. Yes, I will beat you up with words. Yoshi P is precious. He is a gift in this gaming industry. He is not here for your bullshit, and I will see to that. Comments in chat. DJ Rama S, are gamers entitled? Yes. Was that the website that Bobby had? What was the website that Bobby had? Are gamers mad? Are gamers... Do gamers hate... gamers hate everything. That's it. Gamershateeverything.com. That was it. It took me a minute. My old brain. Thank you, Bobby. Gamershateeverything.com. What?
You are not old.
Gamer...
Your brain
gamer,
is not old.
Can I... Gamers are not allowed to hate Yoshi P. Gamers are not... I forbid it. What... You know what? If I'm gonna wield that 19-year thing around the room and this whole, like, where... You know what? I'm gonna decree that. You are not allowed to hate Yoshi P. Period. You're not a gamer. If you hate Yoshi P, you're not a gamer. You're not. We take it away from you. What do you say, chat? We strip away the gamer rights of those that hate Yoshi P. Down with that. How dare you? All right. Anyway, uh-oh. I guess the site is currently broken. Gamers took out gamershateeverything.com.
Good Lord.
Garth the Wolf would like to point out Final Fantasy XIV has the best stories to tell. The lead writer of the game is a woman. Yes, who also wrote Shadowbringers, which was incredible. And the critically acclaimed MMO. She's fabulous. All right. Anyway. Okay, I've said enough. Yeah, I'm sorry. I had some thoughts and some feelings and some opinions, and I had to express them.
You're entitled to that, Rob. No, yes. One's saying no.
Thank you.
For the record.
You're joining me in this whole Yoshi. You're not allowed. If you hate Yoshi P, I will take your... You're not a gamer. That title is taken away. Right, Dark Sakura? You're going to help me enforce this rule, right?
Okay. Yeah, Rob. Sure.
All right. What'd you want to say?
Oh, for the record, I didn't get to have a pink drink today.
I'm sorry for your loss.
I had a beige drink instead.
Oh, you poor thing. I had a green tea.
My heart was broken, Rob.
Were they out of pink drink?
They were. So I had my fallback, which was my iced chai latte with one pump of the apple syrup.
Oh, good times. Good times.
Because it's delicious and I'm a genius.
All right. Garth the Wolf in chat says chestnut praline latte is out. Yeah, those are really good. Those are really good. I wish I could get one soon. All right. Anyway, let's wrap up. Thank you guys very much for tuning into our show tonight and listening to us make decrees and rules and bitch and complain.
This is
and
our
talk
manifesto.
About our exes. Thank you for coming to our group therapy tonight. We appreciate you being here. That's how the show's lasted 19 years. It's basically therapy. In a way it is sometimes. Anyway, thank you guys for being here. Thank you for tuning in. Whether you're like Ronnie and have been listening on the podcast feed for years and years and years and years and years, thank you so much for that. If you've been listening live here at twitch.tv, thank you very much for that as well. Appreciate you guys however you choose to listen to the show. If you enjoyed what you heard here, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word. A social media retweet, those types of things go a long way as well. Hosts on Twitch, that whole system is kind of weird right now, but we'll take it. If you want to host us on Twitch, please do.
For the record, on that point, I'm just going to say Better TTV has an option for you to add host channel when you are in somebody else's channel.
Oh.
It is very useful. If you're using Better TTV and you don't see that, it is an option that you can turn on in your settings.
Is Better TTV like an add-on somebody wrote to fix all the problems with TTV?
Better TTV is actually for more icons than the standard ones that you get. I was using it for my no bill icon for a long time.
Huh.
And Bourbon put up the no fang that I made.
Interesting. So, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'll link you the stuff after I do my thing tonight.
I know about the pronouns add-on but that's about the only add-on I've used for Twitch.
Which doesn't work right in Safari. Although a lot of those things run through Tamper Monkey, but that I digress.
Interesting. Okay. But anyway, thank you very much for your support. If you feel so inclined, you could also visit the store, vognetwork.com/shop, pick up an OLR t-shirt just in time for the holidays. Say hello to a loved one with a Bobby Blackwolf mug, which you can pick up at vognetwork.com/shop, or a cool little Vogue Network logo, anything. Maybe we should add a couple items before the holidays. We'll see. Maybe if you're good. Check that out at vognetwork.com/shop. And again, thank you so much for your support of the show. It really does mean the world. We'll be back next week to do it all again. Before we say goodnight, we want to go around and get everybody's final thoughts. So let me go to Dark Sakura first. I'll say your final thought first before you head out.
My stomach hurts a lot because I ate too much. I had a taco and I had a donut, and the donuts were cheap and half price over at Safeway, and I made a big mistake.
Aw.
Choices.
Choices. But you got to eat a taco and a donut today, in a way.
And?
Pretty cool.
Remember, no booping without consent.
All right. Thank you, Dark Sakura, and we look forward to the boops on your stream in just a little later for live listeners. So thanks. Have a good one. All right. And Loki, how about your final thought?
My final thought is, if you haven't already, go subscribe to my YouTube channel, username LokiOLR, and check out my new video. I've watched that time-lapse video that I filmed in there several times. It syncs up so well to the music. I love it. Go check it out. I made it in Django City.
All right. You know what you need to add to your channel, though, if you want to try to get more people in? Add some of your funny-ass rants on things, like, to your channel. I think you'd get a lot of just other audience that comes in, non-Minecraft people. We'll got to reach the non-Minecraft crowd somehow. But, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Check it out. Of course, I encourage all of our folks to check it out. Of course. You'll learn to love Minecraft with Loki. I guess I'll plug my channel, too. I was very bad in broadcasting last week. I promise I have a good reason. I'm not going to talk about it right now, but I've just had a lot going on this last week. But I'm going to really try to get back on the wagon next week because I was doing so good with my post-work streams. So I'll plug myself at Rob Roberts here on Twitch. Oh, and Twitter. I fucking love Twitter. Just follow me on Twitter at Mr. Rob Roberts, MR Rob Roberts. Yeah, that's it. That's going to do it for tonight's show. Thank you. We'll be back to do it again. I can't believe it's November 2021. Like this time since we flipped to virtual has just flown by, like this whole pandemic stuff. I get my booster next week. That's exciting.
I got mine on Friday.
Congrats. Did you get boosted with J&J or did you get something else?
No, Moderna.
I know you hate shots, so that does take a lot.
I do hate shots.
Well, congrats. Thank you for doing it.
It's like literally felt nothing from it. My arm was very minorly sore the next day.
Oh, you didn't get it? You didn't get any side effects from Moderna otherwise? Oh, that's good. Because
no,
Moderna,
I got no side effects.
I'm getting tic-tac-toe with Moderna. So I'm getting a Moderna shot on Thursday, I think. No, Thursday's a holiday. So I think I might get it Tuesday. I don't know. I don't fucking know time anymore. But I'm going to get tic-tac-toe. So I'll have Moderna. So because that is my love of Dolly Parton and the vaccine that she helped fund. So get the Moderna vaccine. Get the vaccines. We're fine. You will be too. And yes, Bobby Blackwell says follow the Vogue Network Twitter as well. Of course. I just figured you already were at Vogue Network. Yes. All right. Tic-tac-toe Derna. Yes. And Garth says it's Moderna's the half dose. All right. It's not Vaccine Lounge Radio. It's Orange Lounge Radio.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't get Moderna. I got Pfizer. Oh. I confused myself.
Liar.
So, I did get the Pfizer one. And I felt nothing.
But the point is you got the booster.
I did.
You did. All right. Awesome. Get vaccinated so we can have conventions again. So we can have tournaments again. We can have arcades again. We've got to end this fucking pandemic. At least where you're I realize there is a very, very small amount of people who literally can't get vaccinated because of they were recently on a medication or something. At least wear your masks. Choose smart. That's it. I'll get off my soapbox. We're going to end this episode. We'll do another episode of Orange Lounge Radio next week. Who knows what rants we have in store. We'll see what the gaming industry does to us over the next 7 days. Listen to the Ubisoft employees. Fire Yves Guillemot. That's not what they're saying, but that's what I'm saying. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.